Exactly.
I know.
All right. All right. Ready, everybody? Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Phones off, or we're on board phones off, or on silent, or vibrating, and let's get started. Good evening, everybody. This is a special meeting of the Board of Trustees of the Canotillo Independent School District. Today is June 28th, 2011. The time is 6:16 p.m. Tony, would you please call roll?
Mrs. Cousins?
Here.
Mr. Cardona?
Here.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Here.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Here.
Mrs. Quintana?
Here.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Present.
Mrs. Searles?
Here.
All right. And takes us to the first item on the agenda under reports.
Item 2A is compliance calendar and hotline activity summary. Mr. Darkos?
Do they want to talk on this item or
no?
On the budget?
Yes.
Yeah, we can do it at that time.
Good evening. Let's see, Aldo, how are you? Yes, if you would just give us a quick overview of it. We have the actual documentation, so.
Okay.
And if we have any other questions from the board after the presentation, then.
Okay. So the last compliance calendar report that I'm aware of was given in February back in 2010. That, as you recall, there was a change in vacancy in the internal office position, so there was kind of a break in the recording of that. And my office has been asked to kind of reinstate that report on a monthly basis, and so going forward, we will be kind of writing reports accordingly.
Can you put the microphone up closer? Because we're
there. Okay, so as of February 2010, there were 10 open findings at the time. And we've done some initial research, and at this time, we have not uncovered any additional findings, but we do have a project development plan to do so again. If we do discover any of those, we'll be added on a go-forward basis to this report.
I'm sorry, through the chair. 10 findings on what report? I didn't hear you either.
On the compliance calendar report that was given last February 2010.
Thank you. Sorry.
And so basically it's 10 findings that are contained in the report that we're talking about today. The oldest finding goes back to fiscal year 06-07, and it related to prior audit by TEA, coming specifically back at some ADA facilities related issues, and based on the follow-up drive form back in March of this year, we did get a report back from TEA basically saying that that finding has been closed and all those issues that were reported back then have those been resolved. And so from my perspective on that one item, all actions have been completed and we can actually close that and we're gonna close finding those. Next time we've got a series of 2007-2008 findings. First of which relates to implementing the team's time card system district-wide. The general action was really just to kind of make that implementation happen. Based on the follow-up performed, I've confirmed that we have since implemented the team's time card implementation. That, my understanding, was completed in January of 2009. And so, for all kinds of purposes, we've been using it since then. And so that one, in fact, we need closed as well. Okay.
All right.
The next four findings. All deal with issues relating to the facilities and transportation area.
Going to 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Yeah, under fiscal 07-08, 2, 3, 4, and 5. As you're aware, the recently approved audit plan contains a facilities and transportation audit on the plan to be scheduled for to be formed in August of 2001. And we've received some initial information from management of facilities and transportation to indicate that these items have been resolved. However, audit follow-up on those items is going to be deferred until we actually perform the audit. It might have been doing two separate audits, it could make more sense to kind of coordinate what we're doing under the confines of the actual audit. Okay, so that's why we've got pending verification on those items. Okay. Can we go to the 2008-2009 findings? Let's see, the first of which related to implementation of the textbook module. Initially, I think the district had looked into implementing another system, or the team's textbook module. That did not work out, and subsequently the district identified the Hayes software tipware system, and that was implemented, and that has been in place since May of 2010. So again, for all intents and purposes, that money could be closed as well. A couple other findings items, the second and third items under, well actually the last three items deal with textbook processing processes, that type of thing. And what we're doing, those three, the first and the third say pending verification. The reason for that is that the textbook audit that was on the audit plan is currently in process. And I am in the process of following up with every campus to make sure that they are kind of in fact in line with the recommended actions. Today, we completed the textbook inventory counts at all five elementaries and the high school. And for example, the textbook responsibility contract signed by the parents. So far, so good, everybody's doing that. I think there's gonna be some items related to maybe refining some of those processes, but that'll come out from the audit. And so my expectation, which will be confirmed at the end of the audit, will be to kind of report back that that item has in fact been addressed. Next item has to do with the regulation regarding the teacher responsibilities for the textbook that were signed. And Ms. Gonzalez reported to me that per Texas Education Code, the district cannot charge teachers for any additional payoffs, but they can certainly implement alternate consequences. And so at the last leadership meeting, a proposal for that was presented, and the targeted time frame for completion on that is August 2001, so basically before the municipal discharge. And so at that time, we will then go ahead and re-follow up to confirm that that action has been completed for us. The last item has to do with the hiring of textbook clerk at the high school and the refinement of related textbook management processes. And again, that item is in process in conjunction with the textbook audit that's currently underway. Based on the information that I received from Mr. Fry and from the discussion that I had with their textbook clerk within the last couple of weeks, it does appear that this item will be closed as well. So going forward, what I'll continue to do is anything that's reported as complete in 1 month will be removed from the report in the following month, unless you want me to carry it for a longer period of time or anything. Otherwise, anything that's pending completion, pending verification will continue to be reported as any new findings, as well as any new findings that need.
Yeah, Ms. Yadigman, and along that line, I think probably it might be beneficial for the board that that's fine that you can, if it's been closed out, that then you don't have to report it at the following compliance calendar. But at the end of the year, I'd like to see the final report for that year. Is everything that was actually absolutely completed and closed?
In the internal auditor's annual report, which will be at the end of the year, we'll right. Everything that all activity that was kind of looked at, regardless of whether they're still open or whether they're closed.
Right.
So we'll be closed.
Okay.
Any questions?
Board?
I have a question.
Mrs. Gonzalez.
Can we go back to the first one for 2006-2007?
Yes, ma'am.
And there's a sentence there that says complete, and it also indicates that there was documentation received from TEA?
Yes, ma'am.
Can we get a copy?
Yep.
Well, can we can receive it tomorrow on the Friday packet, if that's okay.
Okay.
We'll make sure you do that.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Rodriguez.
On the pending verifications, what are you looking at the closing out of those, the ones that are pending still?
Basically, the procedures to actually verify the location fall in line with the actual audit procedure that we're going to be doing. of the Valley Mission bus routes, and I received a binder with information that details the current bus route schedule, but I need to kind of spend a lot more time making sure that I understand the content of it, making sure that I understand the process so that I can do that again. Rather than doing that once for the follow-up and this line, and then again for the actual audit, given the time it's about within 1 or 2 months, it just made more sense to kind of join those efforts. And that's a similar type of activity that we need to do for the other ones, like any verification. With the exception of the ones that are for the textbook audit, those are actually in the process of being verified.
Through the chair, on FY09, number 12, they've hired the textbook clerk.
Yes, they did.
Why wouldn't that be closed?
Because it was partly hiring the textbook clerk as opposed to, in addition to refinement of the actual textbook management process.
Okay.
And so we've confirmed that the clerk has been hired, and we spent some time looking at whether or not that clerk is using TIPWIP to manage TEA required materials. In addition, we found that textbook clerk has a separate access database for maintaining items or other instructional material outside of what's been required through TEA. They've required a couple of rooms to manage, you know, the actual physical textbooks themselves and really just try to kind of implement the streamlining process.
All right, anybody else?
I have a question.
Patsy.
Ms. Hidalgo, on items 2 through page 1 of 3 and then through number 5, do you feel pretty confident that you'll be able to close those out, complete them?
On those, again, the we're deferring all verification efforts until the actual audit is conducted, so I cannot make any statements to what they were. What management has reported their comfort level, but as the auditor, my job is to kind of go in and verify management's report of the test. And so I can't make a comment at that time because we haven't performed any work.
Anybody else?
You know, I see on the back on where was it? Fiscal year 07 or 08. And then I see it is complete, the teens time card system district-wide. Was that ever any issue with the Teams software?
To my knowledge, no. There was actually an issue with implementing Teams.
Just the implementation, but not any.
Yeah, I mean, basically the rollout was there, and I wasn't there when the actual implementation happened, so I can't speak directly to that. But based on the information I got,
okay. All right. All right, Ward, any other questions? No? Okay. All right, thank you.
The next presentation is a hotline activity summary.
Yes.
With a similar question, I know that you have the report.
Yes.
And I guess my intent is to really kind of provide a high-level overview as opposed to going through the detail and really just kind of be available to answer questions.
Yes.
And so just to really give the entire report a little bit of context, I want to make sure that everybody understands the report that we're presenting contains a number of statistics based on the activity over the last 15 months through May of 2011, which is last month. It doesn't include any new activity that occurred as of this month. Okay. Other thing that I want to make sure that I point out is that the report that stands also does not reflect whether or not the allegations included in here or substantiated. That was not part of the original information request, and to be honest, I have some concerns relative to reporting at a detailed level, specific actions, and so I think ultimately we can, you know, in the annual report, we'll have that level of information, and because we're really looking at the report starting as of March this forward that I assume responsibility for, I can, you know, in a later report to you on whether those were substantiated or not, but it's really kind of a separate report. So based on that, the initial request, as I understood it, was to kind of provide the board with an overview of the nature and the type of reports that were being received. And what I did is, based on all the information that we're capturing on the hotline, I wanted to present this initial view from all the different perspectives so that you could understand this is kind of the level of information that we have available to report on. In subsequent reports, I would ask the board to consider whether or not they want the data to be sliced and diced, so to speak, in other ways. And so what I want to do is review what the data parameters represent, and then let you think about it, and then give further direction as to whether or not you want to see other views. So initially, on the first page is really just a presentation of the number of hotline reports that we're receiving per month. On average, we're getting about 4 a month over the last 50 months. And what you're going to see on the next pages 2, 3, and 4, you're going to see a first box that says hotline report by reporting mechanism. Again, there are 3 different ways that a reporter can actually submit a report. One is by directly coming to visit me in my office. One is to call the hotline number. The other one is to kind of submit a web report. In our specific instance, over the last 15 months, the majority of reports have been submitted over the web. Very few office visits, but we actually did start getting copies. So hopefully we're going to continue going forward. Language-wise, the predominant language that reporters are using is English, but however, there are other Spanish reports being submitted, so we absolutely want to be able to maintain accessibility in both of those avenues. Hotline awareness by awareness source. This is really just communication from the reporter themselves as to how they knew to actually work with the hotline. You'll notice that the other category has the majority of respondents, and that's basically because sometimes the reporter does not, you know, they're not forced to answer all the questions, and so they choose not to answer, so we need to kind of leave that open. The poster, there is a hotline poster, and that's one of the things that I want to make sure that is available and accessible at all campuses. It's just kind of, you know, and that would be a matter of me visiting all campuses to make sure our posters are still there and accessible and viewable. Hotline reports by reporter type. Again, there is a question on the form that reporters fill out that asks the question, are you an employee of the district? Sometimes folks answer yes, in which case they're employees. Sometimes they say no, parent, no, member of the community, or whatever the case happens to be. This is really kind of the summation of responses to that question. You'll note in a couple of cases, we do actually have students using the hotline as well. One person indicated they're a taxpayer, the other one an applicant. The unknown category really, again, captures all those responses where the reporter did not choose to indicate or answer that question. Was this report, and just so you know, the presentation of this information in part was used as part of the overall risk assessment for the audit plan we prepared, really just to kind of get a sense for, okay, where are these activities coming from, how are they coming from, in case we need to make adjustments to the hotline report, and or if we need to get the word out better about the fact that it's there. But going back to the was this report in the description, in the majority of cases, we don't know. There's a question that when a reporter calls in and somebody from the actual hotline answers, they ask the question, did you report this matter to administration? Sometimes they answer, sometimes they don't. For the times when there's a web submittal, that question isn't provided on the form, so that's actually something that we can maybe work with local compliance to add that question to the form and maybe get a little bit better statistics on that one attribute. Next slide is, did the reporter self-identify? Again, in the majority of cases, they do not. And as we've discussed before, that actually makes follow-up much harder when, you know, the majority of our reports are anonymous. And so we have to kind of start looking and figuring out, okay, where can we get additional information on? However, we do have a decent amount of percentage, 23%, that actually are self-identifying. And so we'll need to kind of think about how we might be able to increase that. This one about whether we want to make a requirement, but the anonymity of the reporting seems to be effective. But again, that's just something to consider. Next item has to do with just a summation of a hotline report received by location, and again, to protect the, I guess, the identity and confidentiality of the campuses and locations, what I've done is for the elementary school category, that contains all reports received from all 5 campuses. Administration includes central office and the support services group. Middle school includes the two middle schools that we have. High school includes the CHS and NHS. And then other actually includes hotline reports that deal with incidents that occurred off campus. I think one was out of town and the other one was at a local business. Does the allegation involve stews? That's actually one thing that, based on prior conversations with the board, my interpretation is that they expressed a concern and a priority of placing students below. And so just seeing the percentage breakout here, even though the majority of allegations don't, I think it's a significant amount, almost 40% that do. And so, and this involves the student as a reporter, the student as the subject of the allegation, and or possibly the student who is being impacted by the allegation. And so those are things that we want to take a much closer look at. Second and last category is hotline reports by a primary allegation. The majority of allegations that we receive are kind of twofold. A lot of them will have kind of a primary allegation and they'll have hints of a secondary allegation. What we've done for reporting purposes is really just try to identify that primary allegation category and divide it that way, because the reporting would get a little too complex if we go otherwise. What you'll see is that the majority of reports over the last 15 months fall into the harassment and inconsistent process category. I do want to clarify that in that inconsistent process category, global compliance, the system itself, when somebody reports a line, they can actually pick the category that, you know, that they deem best fits the allegation. What I've done is I then take the report and I read it and I apply the definitions that I provided to you, I think, on the second or the last page, based on, to give you some context as to what I'm categorizing as for harassment type issues and consistent processes. And I do want to make it a point to note that there are a number of items that come in reported as discrimination-related items. And what I've done is I've separated those out into a specific category that deals with specific requirements of ADA in terms of gender, national origin, race, that type of thing, as opposed to just we're not following the process consistently, and so that's resulting in that's having different results for somebody. That being said, I think I also want to make a point relative to the inconsistent processing in that we've had the discussion a number of times that the district is growing. As our numbers get bigger, as our processes get bigger, there is going to be an increased need to implement and introduce more structure. It's part of the growing pains, if you will. And so I think a lot of what I've read on the allegations coming in for inconsistent processes basically have to do with the fact that there is a defined process or it's been communicated a certain way, but you know the actual execution thereof falls outside of that for some, not for all. And so again, to really help drive or build a sense of fairness across the district on a go-forward basis, that's something that definitely my office will be looking at as, you know, as we audit the different areas of operation. That's one of the things that we're going to be encouraging is just let's define that consistent process and let's make sure that we're implementing and following that district code. The harassment item, I also wanted to kind of briefly comment on that. I know that in past board meetings, you know, Dr. Murphy has made comments about how we've been, no place for hate. We've got that initiative, that status. And at the student level, I think we've been very successful. Based again on some of the allegations that we received that fall into that category, I think it starts seeming like maybe at the adult level, we maybe need to have a little bit more conversation and remember how effective communication works. I think there's hints of lack of respect and you know, it's about giving the appearance of, you know, the way somebody is the way somebody asks a question, the way somebody answers a question, the way, you know, things like that, or a lot of the types of things that get reported in here get interpreted as harassment. Again, not saying that all items reported under harassment or any of these categories are substantiated, but based on just the general nature of the allegation, that is definitely the sense that I'm picking up from the reports themselves. And so I would think that the goal for the district is to be no place for hate across the board, not just at the student level. And so that's something that we may all kind of want to just think about in the back of our heads and figure out, okay, how do we make sure that happens. The last category really just has to do with, for all the 51 of reports that have been reported, the majority have been closed. The ones that are remaining open are open either because we're still in the follow-up process and the reporter's been anonymous over the allowed wait period, and or we still need to have follow-up discussions with administration just to kind of move them more. So at this time, I'm open for questions.
Board, any questions? Mr. Rodriguez?
Just a comment. I like the report, and I thank you for the report. Talking about the No Place for Hate, I was just in San Antonio for an LAO conference, and there was some other counties and cities as well as school districts that had implemented, and there was a session on how they implemented policies in place where there was No Place for Hate across the board, and it talked about discrimination across the board. And I have that information, so I'll bring it to the board the next meeting, so that way you all can look at it. I think it talks about how to have a policy in place where I believe even the community members have to follow it when it comes to either discrimination or, students or teachers, where it's pretty neat. It was a pretty neat session, so I'll bring that information back so you all can and make it more. We'll want to look at that.
Anybody else? I have a question on the harassment and inconsistent process. It seems to be that, looking at it, it looks like 80% or 70% of it occurred during a few months back of last year, as well as the inconsistent process. It makes me kind of suspicious about the time period and what. Did you take a look at anything about? And whether it's focused at, because I noticed, and I don't know whether those particular reports were which particular campuses. I know you grouped some of the by whether it was elementary or at other types of campuses. That doesn't tell me though the concentration, but I figure that most since the majority were elementary complaints, that probably this was a lot of elementary campuses or not. Am I wrong? If you look at page 12.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have that level of detailed information.
You don't have that.
But I can definitely provide it because basically we have the statistic for location and we kind of combine that with the statistic for primary allegation. And again, That's one of the things that...
That would be helpful and I'm not talking about every single allegation, but those that stand out, like the... For example, the harassment and the inconsistent process would be helpful to say, okay, where are these? I mean, it looks kind of suspicious to me. I mean, in terms of, we have the same type for 1, 2, 3 months, just repeatedly, very high incident. Yeah. I don't know, but. Maybe you can provide a little more detail about where those were focused.
And I guess just looking at the time frame, for example, if you look at the page where it says 500 reports by primary allegation, it has the detail table below it.
Yeah.
We're looking at the timeline from March 2010 through May 2011. If you look at the spikes for the harassment,
they're all within a few months.
You're looking at April, May, June time frame. And so it's a matter of, okay, well, what was going on in the district during that time?
Yeah.
May 2010, unless I'm mistaken, was when the actual budget reductions kind of took into effect. And so it could be that some folks construed that as one or the other. I can definitely go back and find a little more detail on that.
Yeah, and it actually started, it really started around March. But the high incidents, we're talking April, May, and June.
And again, high incidents, we're talking numbers of three.
Excuse me?
Three reports of the average four. So we're not talking huge numbers, but just kind of graphically.
But percentage-wise, it was the majority of them.
Yeah, same thing with inconsistent processes. Same thing, because if you look at the more recent months, March, April, and May, you see, really kind of the allegation categories a little bit more rolling out.
All right.
I'll make a note and we'll make it then.
Sure. I mean, this year it doesn't look like that's the case at all. Except for, you know, the spike on discrimination, but...
What about the top slide on page 13, President?
Excuse me?
Page 13, top slide. Doesn't that give you a little better look at what types occurred on what month?
Page 6.
Page 6 of 14, top slide. Hotline reports by awareness resource.
That actually just indicates how the reporter knew that the hotline even existed.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you have that type of report for type of incident?
Yeah, that's going to be on the next page.
7 of 14 at the top? No.
It's on page 1. It should be on page 3. Very middle.
Yes, on page 12 of 14. There you have the inconsistent process and harassment.
Right.
5-1.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we're looking at.
Uh-huh.
And like you said, President, there's those high bars on March, April, May, June, 2010.
Yeah, and it's by the awareness resource, but that doesn't tell us the concentration of where they were happening.
Ah, okay.
You see what I mean?
And we can provide that information.
And
as
of
well
course,
as any other kind of slicing and dicing that you'd like once you've taken a culture of it.
But I like the report, Dan. Thank you very much.
Very good. Thank you.
Through the chair.
Doc.
Diana, is it appropriate for you to give some sort of summary findings, like here are four things you really should look at or something like that?
Depending on the allegation itself, kind of going back to the annual report, you know, the auditor's annual report, it will include a summary of the allegations, how many were substantiated, how many weren't, and kind of a sanitized version of the nature of the allegation, because again,
right.
You know, it's...
That isn't what I was thinking. I was thinking like a trend analysis. Would you give findings on a trend?
We can, and that's part of where this is starting to go. That's why we reported on the last 50 months of activity, even though the current internal auditor is really only responsible for those activities as of March of this year.
The only other issue is that the specificity of those, we wouldn't be able to, if we start getting too specific, then we'll be identifying certain areas, and we'd have to have that in closed session.
And that's why we purposely, at this initial report, right. that it's such a high level, is what we kind of have.
And Diana and I and Larry discussed this about how specific these issues were going to be, because we couldn't, it needs to be an open session, but not if it's going to have over specific information.
And even in terms of, for example, the request to basically cross primary allegation with location, it's going to be at the level of location that's contained in the current report, because if we take in any other...
Yeah, which is fine.
That's going to be a little tricky.
Which is fine, but that lets us know certain areas at least. Yeah. Okay. Ward?
Mr. Chair. Just real quick, is this still auditing... paper trail, or is this the final report?
Is this still in progress?
Because
well, this is going to be an ongoing report. The board requested a monthly update, so basically this is the first initial report, and then we'll make some additional adjustments, and then on a monthly basis we'll come back and we'll include any updates to the numbers and any additional slicing and dicing.
So it's a continuing...
Actually, on the compliance hotline, I don't really care that we do it on a monthly basis. I mean, it is something that's a matter of a quarterly basis. I don't think we need to have that. There's not that many reports each month. I mean, four of them you're going to add every month. I don't see the need to do it every month. All right, any other?
So, is it possible then to include the campus here?
It is possible, but again, that's not something that I believe we do.
We're not asking for names.
Correct, but in some cases, it's a cross between campus and job title, and that would identify a specific individual. So I think we would need to have some discussion as to where that line is.
Yeah, if it's going to be that on that issue, we'd have to have an item and go to closed session to discuss it. We can't once we identify the position, is a problem.
I'm not asking for positions, I was just asking for campus.
Yeah, campus, well, it depends. Because if by campus and the complaint is against a specific position.
Here's what I can generate the statistics at the high level and at the lower level, take a look, and then I can give you feedback as to any concerns that I may have relative to kind of breaching the confidentiality of that information.
Yeah.
The other reason why I was asking
Mr. Rodriguez.
It's not paper trail. What's her exact under the law? If it's a work in progress or whatever, it's still.
Oh, it's considered a not a work paper.
Yes, that's what I meant. So is this considered a not a work paper? Is it protected?
In the form as it stands right now, no. This is public information, and because it is at such a high level.
So then, on the other one, we can do an audit and work paper where.
Certainly, if there's more detailed information that needs to be presented, we do that in closed session with appropriate protection to the extent of the law.
Okay, Board. Anything else? Okay. Diana, thank you very much. I very good reports.
Thank you.
Enjoy. All right. Next agenda item.
Item 2B, Facilities and Transportation Report, Mr. Armendariz. Board President Coronado, board members, and Dr. Murphy.
Mr. Armendariz, good evening.
Good evening. In this packet, I believe you received four items. They were pretty much requests from Mr. Rodriguez and the board. One of them was with Mr. Rodriguez on the Facilities Committee meeting, and the others were requests of information with respect coming from the board. On the first item that I have, and I hope it's this way in your packet, it's the transportation. Is that how it reads? How your practice put together? What I've attached is a cost of the purchase of 10 buses for transportation.
Northwest Arden College.
After the previous board meeting, I met with Mr. Wayne Bieber from Bluebird Bus Sales to get an estimate for 10 buses that were approved by the taxpayers on the bond proposal, and asked him for a proposal on it. The number in front of you is $88,375 per bus, and that fee excludes the $800 TASB buyboard purchase order fee.
Is that per bus or total?
Per bus, yeah. No. The 800 is for
total.
10 buses.
Okay.
Excludes or includes? It says includes here.
Well, it includes. Actually, it should be excluded, because if you look at the next page, we have the $88,375 net price for the bus, per bus, and then the $800 additional for the TASB by board purchase.
Okay.
Okay, so if we're looking at it, we're talking about $88,375 times 10 plus the $800.
So like $80 per bus.
Yes.
Extra.
It's actually, if I might interject, it's $800 per PO. So if you buy one bus on a PO, it's $800
right.
plus a bus.
Yeah.
So
it works out to $80 a bus.
Right, $80 a bus. And
Chair, can I ask a question?
Doc? Yes.
Ernesto, one of the things that we talked about with the Facility Stakeholder Committee was the desire that when these buses were purchased, we would buy them in accordance to the desires of your mechanics and your drivers, that it would meet those specifications, that we wouldn't have to be buying, that we wouldn't buy buses that would be hard to work on, that would be a whole new set of tools that we would have to purchase, that they fit right in with our fleet. Do these match that type of requirement?
In fact, they do. My transportation supervisor, the mechanics, they all recommend Blue Star bus. They don't have as many problems as the other buses, which the other buses, what they've done is they're put together and they're pieced together by different companies. And when it comes to getting them down here and then you need a part, then you have to go to a different company instead of a same source where you purchase them. Blue Star is the bus sales company that they're recommending. They have excellent record with them. They've checked them out. My understanding is they checked them out with other school districts, and that is the preferred company.
Mr. Armendariz, do you mean Blue Bird?
Blue Star. Blue Star bus sales.
But they are Blue Bird
buses. But they're
Blue Bird buses, yes. From Blue Star sales.
Yes.
Got you. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, the make is Blue Bird.
Blue Bird is the manufacturer.
Coming from Blue Star.
Blue Star.
Gotcha.
That's correct. Yeah, too many blues in there.
Yeah, I see that. Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Mr. Rodriguez.
Was this on the final on the Blue Star?
Yes.
Okay. The only thing when it comes to approval of the board, I would like to see some other quotes on different companies just to...
We'll be glad to get those quotes. Yes.
Mr. Chair?
For the July, is it for the July...
When are we planning to get the buses?
Well, their number holds for the next 30 days as of June 28th, I think it was, that they sent us this. Yeah, June 8th. And it's 30 days, and then they guarantee a delivery date of 120 days, which would bring them in somewhere in September.
Okay.
If you got them approved.
All right.
What I can do is I can get them to you all as soon as possible. You know, that shouldn't be difficult to get numbers from different sources. One of the things is this: we're going, along with that, we'll give you our recommendations. Because some of the transportation companies out there, like I said, it's the way they put their buses together.
Right.
That makes it difficult because the parts are not from them; they're made by someone else, and they're kind of like a Frankenstein being pieced together.
Right. Okay.
The other thing regarding, and I guess my concern is the total amount that we're looking at selling this coming year, for this year would be 20 million, correct? 20 something?
22.
And what I want to see and what I would like to see, and I'll probably put it on an item, is where we're going to prioritize those projects and for the first one. I don't know if this is major priority where we could
add. That's why the timelines that we asked the administration.
That's for the 21 we're planning on. Sorry.
That was just for the 1.4 that June 6th you all approved.
Right, but I'm also asking the administration, that particularly on the big ticket items like the school, when we're going to need the money, because that's going to affect the 22 million first draw,
sure.
How much we're going to need.
We're planning on bringing all that at either the July 12th regular board meeting or your committee meeting, at the board's leisure or pleasure, one of the two. Certainly by the July 12th meeting, we'll have that. It'll be a priority after we get back from vacation to get that together for you.
And I guess my question then is, because can we hold off? Are we gonna, on the bus? Is that a higher ticket item than wastewater treatment plant and some of the other stuff?
Well, I think the wastewater treatment plan, we're going forward. Period. I don't think they're gonna require funding probably before the next sale date of the bonds. It's gonna take them a year and a half to 2 years before they get it out to us.
And so that's what I want to look at more of the overall.
In fact, that's the actual timeline that we've heard from PSB, is that it, if this thing was to ever kick in with the design services and the planning with PSP in order to which way are we going to go with lines, I mean, it would be about a couple of years.
By then, we'll have the second sale done already.
Yes.
So that's not going to be an issue.
And we are putting all that information together with surveys so that we can provide you with a priority list, which will explain why, you know, what the lead items are on those. Specifically the sewer.
The other thing we need to remember, guys, is we're getting 22, what was it, 3 or 4 million was the voter or the taxpayer relief?
3.
Okay, so we have 7. We're going to spend about, not all of that on the land.
Right.
We have that. Then we still have money left over above the 22. And so it's not really half. It's more than half. So I think that's why the timeline, so we can, and I think we're going to be fine. Most of the major costs on the school will probably not be incurred till probably sometime next spring or summer. Am I right?
Yes, sir. I think the majority of the cost of the school would probably even occur after the second sale.
So, but we still want a timeline for the major ticket items, so we're sure that we're not going to be short on some of the other projects.
Either the July 12th board meeting or the committee meeting.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay.
Sure.
Mr.
Are you planning to order any special ed buses from you?
Yes, in fact, we have 2 that are being ordered for the next budget, for this budget year. They're as part of the local funds that we have.
But not any out of this
year? Not in this. The reason being is that based on the information that I've received from transportation, supervisor, is that we have already 2 of them. We have actually 3, and then with 2 that we're getting, actually 3, we're getting 3. The 6 will hold us over for this year.
So you're planning to order 6 this year?
No, we're
the 10.
We're planning to order a total of 3. Actually, there's 2 that are coming from local funds, and then Janine is providing funding for the 3rd.
Okay, but the 10 buses.
But the 10 buses are, he's proposing all regular buses.
All regular buses.
Yeah, just as information for the board, we have 10 buses right now that are 10 years old. The engines are going to be needing an overhaul, and of the 10, 9 of them have cracked frames. So, and we can't weld the frames, otherwise what's going to happen is that we're in violation of law because we're considered modifying the vehicle. The reason that the frames were cracked, and in fact, I think it was 2 of them were one of the newer ones. When I say newer, that were purchased about 4 years ago. And that was because some years ago, we used to take the buses all the way in into unpaved roads, and they were very uneven, and these buses cannot take this torque. They're very rigid to begin with, and all that torque, what it did is it broke the frame on some of them, so it's cracked the frame. And I'll provide you with that information, also provide you photographs.
Anybody else? Patsy.
Mr. Armendariz, do we have any Bluebirds in our fleet now?
I believe the last 2 that we purchased are Bluebirds.
Yeah.
And they're very happy. Yes, they're very happy. In fact, one of the biggest problems that we've had in the previous buses is that, like I said, they were pieced together, and the air conditioner did not marry well with the engine, and the electrical did not marry well with the air conditioner. So we had like a problem in that sometimes we'd start the buses and the air conditioners wouldn't kick in, and if we'd stop them, they'd kick in. So there was a wiring problem, and the manufacturer could not stand, would not back it up simply because they were lead us over to the installer of the air conditioner, and that's, you know, it became a headache for us because we want one source to go and point the finger at instead of having to go three ways and trying to get blame on it. And that's been a problem with our buses.
Right, I know we have some of the Bluebird buses because you can see the dove, the white dove looking
that's
thing
right.
on it in the side.
That's right, it's got a little bird on it. In fact, I know that the last two were Bluebirds, and then previous to that, when the supervisor came aboard, they had purchased two others.
What is the life expectancy of
it? You know, if they're maintained the way they're supposed to be maintained, I mean, you could get 10 to 12 years out of them. The problem is that these things are made, and they're made for like a 1 year. It's not like, you know, it's like our automobiles. You know, automobiles are good. They're made, and then they change the model in 5 years. Well, these, they change the model probably in 2 years. And so with Blue Star, they tend to stay constant, and that's why they were recommending Blue Star.
And it also depends whether the engines are diesel or gas.
Yes, and the use of them.
And what type of diesel engine.
In fact, in this quote, you'll see that the recommendation is to go with diesel.
In the past, the diesels used to be a problem for maintenance. Lately, they've been a lot better.
They're a lot better engine. That's correct.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Rodriguez.
What is optimal vehicle when looking at purchasing a bus?
What is the, could you repeat that?
What's the optimal vehicle, like, you know, what is the research out there that's showing, where does this car come in, this type of?
Yeah, according to my supervisor, coming from his visits with other transportation supervisors and school districts, that's probably the best gauge that they have as far as they pass the word around as to which bus gives them the hardest time, in which, you know, it's through word of mouth, because there isn't like a J.D. Powers and Associates company that rates these necessarily. So based on that criteria, he went in and asked, he went all the way out to Dallas as far as calling supervisors, and Blue Star was the company that was quite responsive. In other words, they would respond to problems that they had with their vehicles. Other companies, they did a good song and dance type of thing. They sold it to you, and once they sold it to you, it was difficult to. It's usually very difficult to get them back to come in and stand behind the vehicle. And the warranty, really.
Monica.
Ms. Chairman, that is regarding the limited warranty. What does the option 31325 include? I noticed
okay,
it's
on the very. If you go to almost, you know, past the vehicle. Diagrams, uh-huh. You'll get into the warranty, the limited warranties, and the vehicle itself is warranted for 5 years or 100,000 miles.
Oh no, I got the warranty part, but what is that option? I noticed it says with option 31.
Oh, the options that we were asking, that's the diesel.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the diesel, because the engine, they have to switch over the engine from, well, when they build it, uh-huh. They have to drop in the diesel. That's the option.
Okay. That's all I wanted to know. Thank you.
Right. Anybody else? You know, I try to remember whether or not, you know, one of the things that I brought up in terms of our bus issues is that we probably needed some kind of either a small bus or medium type bus for activities that where our coaches could drive and not have to have a bus driver that has to go with them for some of these activities, particularly the high school. Are we going to be able to get one of those? I know that we saw it when we went to the conference in
Houston.
No, it's either Houston or Frisco. San Diego?
I think you've seen them everywhere.
Yeah, we've seen them everywhere probably, but I think it was one of the latest conferences we went to where they had one available. Yes, and the reason I'm saying this is that because the small new bus that were like, I don't know, they were $50,000, but they were gas powered, and the one that was one of these companies that had the diesel engine, they also sold used ones, and of course the diesel engines, and they've been certified, one of their certified used, I guess, buses. That might be something to consider for that, because he said we could still purchase it probably for about the same price as a new gas one. And this is a little bit more, it looks like a more durable type bus. And since we're going to use it for here anyways, local drives to within the county, we might want to consider looking at some of that. I mean, I know we still use our little minivans for that, don't we?
Sometimes, yes. The only thing I would say about that is with the Marthas coming up to give the presentation, they're going to show you that there's some funding that's flexible. It would need to be in that because it wasn't in the bond,
right,
to buy one of those buses. But we do have the availability if the board desired to direct some money toward that.
Well, I don't know what the board thinks, but maybe, my suggestion is that just take a look into it and see what it would cost to get one of these small
activity buses. 20 seaters, I think they are.
Yeah, I think they're either 20 or 24 or 26, somewhere along that line. As a matter of fact, I think I'd given the documentation. I don't know if I gave it to you or did I give it to you, Doc? And just ask them if they had.
I can send you information. I'll send it back.
As a matter of fact, sometimes we might be able to get some of these used buses that have the lift in the back. So we could even double use it as a special. Well, no, not if it's not a yellow.
Mr. Chair.
Never mind. Yes?
Can you just discuss briefly why because you're able to save money when it comes to travel outside, and that's some of the research that you've done, and that's why your interest has been in them?
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll end up saving us, not just in terms of the manpower for the driving, that the coaches can do it, and instead of sending out two vans, you send one activity bus.
Or if you take out an activity bus, you don't have to pay for
it. Right, you don't have to pay for the bus driver.
The bus driver, the coach could actually drive it.
Coach could drive it.
Size. So instead of, because that's some of the costs that we're seeing when it comes to those areas under the activity funds, or in the pockets of the association.
I'll get that information.
Yeah. I mean, it's worth it to take a look at. I don't know if the board does.
The vehicle numbers for this year. We'd start setting some money, or it could be a long range goal.
Yeah. Anybody else? Ditti?
Sorry, did I get some more quotes from other vendors?
It's up to the board if you want me to do that. I don't have a problem. In fact, when I say I don't have a problem, I think we've got some out there. It's just not the preferred vendor that we want because of past experience with those buses. And the other thing that I can have it right away, and that's because I'm looking at this 30-day price thing, and I just don't want the numbers to go up. I don't know what the economy is going to do and bump up our number. Right now, we're still under the monies that the taxpayer allowed us to spend. We're quite under, almost $30,000 under, and just keep in mind that. If we send you the information, it would be nice if I could get some directive on how the board wants us to proceed. I just want to point out that we have that 30-day hold on that price.
If I can add, from my experience, I've looked at all these pricing. Most of the bus manufacturers are on one of the co-ops or the other, and it's a very, very competitive market. I mean, they know where everybody's at. There's just going to be a few different dollars in depending on the options you choose. Another thing that we need to take into consideration too is probably within the next year they're going to institute the requirement for seat belts. When that happens, a 73 passenger bus is going to reduce down to about 40 passengers.
Yeah.
Because there's only going to be two to a seat instead of three right now. So we need to take that into consideration too if we decide to wait or find something else. So
Yeah, if we wait and they do pass it, then we're looking at option two. We have to pay for seatbelts on those.
No, that's going to reduce.
And that's going to reduce the passage.
We're going to need more buses.
And more money. How much are the seatbelts costing per bus?
They don't know yet because they haven't passed the law yet. So very close to it.
Okay. All right. Board's direction to bring back the quotes. You have to order them by July 15th, right?
Yes.
Right?
Could we put quotes in a Friday packet and then bring it all back to you on July 12th? Or
definitely so that the board can.
Is that okay with the board?
July 12th.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, these people will hold it for the 15th. Now, if the 15th goes past and he's still good at it, he'll let us know.
Is that okay with everybody?
Yes.
Yep. Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Romdez.
The next item is the Campbell High School heat pumps.
Yes.
That went out at the main gymnasium. I passed out another. I think you all have it. It wasn't in your packet, but I passed out some more information, additional information, which I didn't have at the time because we were trying to gather in numbers and I was trying to get the best deal possible. Just to let you know, the cost for the units, if I went to a regular vendor, which I did, I went to two of them, was in the neighborhood of $24,000, $25,000 per unit because they do the markup. So then I found out where they were buying the units from, who their supplier was, and I found out that it was CEC, Controlling Equipment. And so I called Controlling Equipment, and I got them down to my office, and I also asked for the representative of Climate Master, the company. And I asked them, I made them aware of the urgency and the need that we had, and that we really didn't have the funding. And they agreed to go ahead and sell it to us directly and bypass the contractor. So the number that they gave me per unit was 19,000, let me see where did I put it. I know I put it wrote it. $19,155 per unit. As opposed to $24,995, which was the markup, which is including the markup for the contractor. Now, on the first item where is that if we decide to purchase the four units, the total cost would be around $110,800. Not including a contingency that I normally would like to put in there because we don't know what we're going to find out when we go in and put those units in. And then after looking at that and getting the engineer involved and the supplier, we all agreed that two units would be sufficient to cool down and heat the gym. And let me tell you why the four are there. Initially, I heard, well, you know, we have more than what we need, but we really don't. What they do is in a gymnasium as big as that one, what they do is they put a redundancy on it, okay? And that's what they do is they operate these units at a lower RPMs on the engine so that they can, on the motor, so that they can last longer for us. Plus, they alternate them. You know, they alternate so that the motor it will last longer. If we had control of them, but unfortunately we didn't have control of them. And so that's why they had four of the units there. Now, I can operate it with two, and I can cool it down. And my recommendation to the board is to allow me to buy two units at the cost of $59,095. And I can guarantee that we can cool it down and we can heat it, and then allow me in 2 years to buy one additional unit just to bring it back to the original specification, one additional unit out of my maintenance funds. Okay? And we'll be able to make it. It won't be a problem because what I'm going to be doing is one unit actually can cool down that gymnasium. But what I'm going to be doing is the second one would be my backup. Now, the other neat thing about this is that I also asked them to include an energy management component in there so that we can monitor it, which is what we don't have right now. We just can't control the temperature. In other words, if it's from the factory, comes in set at 65 degrees, it stays at 65 degrees. And it's designed that way so that the energy management system then is wired into it, and then we can control the temperatures. And what happened is that when they were left on at 65, no one turned them off, and they froze everything. So everything froze, broke the inside, the workings of it, and then the water got into the compressor and completely damaged the four units. Apparently, I heard that this happened 3 months after it was installed, when it was new, that they all four of them went down the same way because they didn't have a management system. And they repaired them, they replaced them because they were under warranty. Okay, and crossed their fingers that we would take them without energy management system, and which we did. And you know, it lasted 4 or 5 years, or 4.5 years, something like that. But these units are supposed to last a good 12 years, 15 years, if we control it and if we maintain it. It's supposed to last us a long time. Like I said, what's in there, if you notice, I put in there that a cost for the energy management system on the unit. So what it means is that I could actually turn on the unit, change the temperature from my house out of this phone. I can go in there and somebody calls me and says, hey, I have a game and it's hot. I can go in there and see the workings of everything. I can see the fan spinning, and I can actually say, oh my gosh, the fan is not working. And I can actually go and send somebody to repair it, or I can set the temperature from here. It's all computerized. So the neat thing is that now Jaime, who takes care of those units, will not have to make a trip to the school to find out that all he needed to do was do an adjustment on a temperature. He can actually do it from his house or from the office. And we don't waste time having to travel to the school. We could actually look at it from wherever he's at. You can look at it. And you can adjust it. That's what we're hoping to do with the whole district when we go through the energy management system throughout the district. On this, I don't want to lose these. If we're going out and purchasing them, I included the cost. I think it was $10,000 for the two units, or $14,200 for the four units. And this way, you know, they won't freeze in this again.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Armendariz, if you had four units, now you're going to have two units. How big were the four units, and how big are your two units?
All of the units are 15-ton units. Okay. Now, the theory behind, you know, if you're looking at, if I'm an engineer and you're asking me to design it, the reason they design it this way is because they're talking about one, longevity. You know, they want it to last you a long time. You know, if you cycle, okay? And then you have redundancy, you have the backup in case one of them acts up and you can kick him in. When I say that I can operate the high school, I mean the gymnasium with two units, what I'm saying is that I have to kickstart them earlier to cool down the space at the required temperature. Okay,
Feet is your gymnasium?
I don't have the number, but it's a volume thing more than anything. Is the square footage and the height mm-hmm. of the gym, and then the number of the capacity because of the body heat that it builds up,
yeah.
And that's what it's all designed around. So experience, from what I understand, from what I look at it, from what we've experienced, is that Jaime was operating, actually cooling the gym with only two of them. And what he was doing is he was starting them up early, before the game. And he was able to reach that temperature and then remain constant at that temperature. What is supposed to happen is that you don't have to start early if you have all four of them, because all four of them would start and it would be a nice purring little engine, you know, that was running at less RPMs and would save electricity and so on and so forth, and it would last longer. So what I present to you is the two options. You know, the first option is if you buy four of them, it's $110,800. And if we wait and you know, 2 more years, I'll get it back to the board, you know, in 2 years. But we do need to buy at least a minimum of 2 to get this thing operational before school starts.
My understanding is that there's a very elementary equation that essentially 440 square feet equal 1 ton of air conditioner.
Yes, that's correct.
And that's why I ask about the square feet. And if we're not giving ourselves enough, aren't we rather robbing ourselves on energy?
Well, initially we are, and that's why I was saying, you know, it's just to get this thing going. If the board did not want to spend the $110,000, and we could spend $59,000 to do the two, we can get it going. And since we're monitoring it with the energy management system, we would be able to control the energy savings on it a lot better than what we did before. But then give me 2 more years, and in 2 years I'll bring it back to its original specifications with the purchase of these two other units. What I'm saying is that you're not going to experience a hot gymnasium within the next year.
And the two other units are not going to be at this price, correct? In a couple of years, they're obviously going to go up. And
well, if you know, I can sit down and talk to them. I've talked to them about that because
okay.
That's why he gave me the two options. And I said, listen, you know, I'd like to go out there and see if you could tie these two units for me. We do a lot of business with them. We really do with CEC, and not through them, but through other contractors, but they know us, and they said that they would be willing to sit on the, you know, so that I could buy that on this budget year. You see, this coming budget year, I'm going to be able
yes.
to buy it, so that brings us to 3.
Okay.
You see,
I
and
understand.
Then they're just talking about 1 more year for the second, for the fourth one.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Armendariz.
Anybody
you,
else? Mr. Monica?
Mr. Armendariz, as I read your memo, are these prices binding and holding? Because I noticed it's not on their vendor letterhead, so how are we to ensure that this is the price?
I do have theirs. I don't know if I brought it with me. What I'm giving you, yeah, I think I did. Yeah, I got it in writing from them.
Okay.
Definitely. Yeah, I have it here.
Okay.
In fact, I called them up and I told them to resend it to me. And you know, I'll be glad to make copies so that you all can have it. But yeah, I do have it. Definitely.
Okay.
In fact, they called me. They were expecting to hear from me for the last board meeting. They called me right away and said, "What do you want? Because we need to order these things. We need to start building them." And I told them we have to wait till today. So I told them to resend it because it gives me a different date on it, and that's what I have.
Okay. I just want to clarify the energy management system that you want to purchase, or the digital control thermostats, rather. That's to ensure that this doesn't happen again, correct?
Definitely, yes.
Okay, and I mean...
For these units only.
I know usually when you monitor this type of digital stuff, usually the person has to have some sort of smartphone or a data plan. I mean, you
thanks
provide
to
that,
IT.
Or?
Thanks to IT, we... they just, about a week ago, provided me with laptops so that I could provide.
Okay.
See, I'm kind of preparing that myself for that, mm-hmm. for this, because of the bond passing. I asked IT, I asked Annette mm-hmm. to provide me with laptops for my HVAC guys, so
okay.
that they can, from home, they can just get into the internet and be able to monitor. What they'll do is they'll give us a software, they'll install the software, they'll train us, and we'll operate. Training is included with the 10,000.
And the laptops, then, are they going to have an air card, or are they going to be live? Because usually, typically, you have to be online to monitor this kind of stuff.
Right. The laptops will be online as long as they're in the district. If they're at home, they have to plug in.
Plug into the, okay. That's what I want to know. Thank you.
Anybody else?
Mm-hmm.
Letty.
One thing I didn't like from this quote is that your second option is that you propose if we go with this purchase of 2 units, you'll get the money out of the maintenance fund. What are you going to do with the rest of the campuses when we ask for work orders or something?
Yeah, fortunately, This budget year, I did include some additional, I requested additional funding for upgrading some of our other campuses. Fortunately for us, for me, finance was able to give me the funding that I needed. And I feel comfortable that we'll be able to handle the rest of the campuses. We've been able to do it. Remember that this bond provided for new air conditioning units, so we're not dealing with the same problems with the old units are that they're giving us. So we're talking new air conditioners for this coming year, so I feel comfortable that we should be able to.
I understand what you're saying, but majority of the time is they get to hear that, well, there's some money, and I don't want to be hearing that they don't have money, or that they're told that they don't have money. Second is that you mentioned that we experienced this 3 months when they first got this at the high school. And I'm not sure about the employment of this person that was monitoring at that time. I don't know how long this individual was working at that time. How long that individual had been working in this position. Second, I'm not even saying it, but I think that this person was not monitoring this. Going back to it, I don't think this person was monitoring this equipment. This person had been monitoring going back to it. This wouldn't have. Anyway, it's done and we have to deal with it. So.
Mr. Chair. Martha Gator, would you like to address the fund balance and how it relates to these heat pumps? Because you know that we've seen some of that in the power plants.
What I was going to mention is we had the discussion on June 6th and also last week at when we adopted the budget that we were going to set fund balance in the amount of $70,000 for the expense of the heat pumps. And so that is where the heat pump cost can be taken from. In your, you know, in response to your concern about taking it from maintenance funding.
Mr. Rodriguez? Is this company a sole source or?
No.
Then our.
No, in fact, they're a supplier.
So what are we getting?
So.
Through the buyer.
I've got quotes. Yeah, we're going straight to the manufacturer. The supplier didn't want to sell it to us. The actual supplier, which is CEC, did not want to sell it to us directly.
Are they on the buy board?
They are on the Ridge 19 and they're on the buy board. Yes. And they didn't want to sell to
us. Are we looking at other, do we have any other quotes that you might want to?
I do have ARS's quote here with me.
Well, can you send that through the Friday?
Sure.
Packet as well? And that's all I have right now, Mr. Chair, since we can't even take action on it.
What was ARS's?
$24,995.
Pretty close to the other. Not the supplier, but the other contractor.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So we're saving about $5,000 by going directly with through these guys, and they're on the buy board. Okay. All right. Directions.
I like get three and one later.
Yeah.
That's kind of my sentiment because otherwise we're not going to have a backup.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking. Get three, and you can get one through your.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I was seeing if they purchase four, as compared to two, they give you a savings of $7,000.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
they do.
So if
I'm still going to get that savings,
what kind of savings would they give?
No, they're going to hold it. They're going to hold it.
You'll still get
the manufacturer is going to hold it.
Okay.
Yes, not the supplier. The manufacturer is telling me. We'll hold that number for you. So.
And if we do three now, come your new budget year, you can order it.
Yeah. Well, no. The new budget year will be the third. In other words, we have 70,000, and then I'll get the new budget year. That's my third. That means that this time next year, I'll get the fourth.
No, but not if we authorize do three now. So that we don't have to wait, because otherwise you're not going to have a backup.
That's right.
for this year? And what if something happens? So I'm thinking that the board, I think we ought to consider authorizing the extra, at least do three, purchase three now, and let the other one be purchased through this year's maintenance. So that at least we can have one backup unit between now and next year. Or you'll actually be able to get them.
Yeah.
Right? All of them.
I'm seeing everybody's head bobbing.
What do you guys?
I think three, two.
Do the chair have a question?
Chuck?
There's no action on this item. But if, going to Armando's point, if that is the desire of the board to use that, could we get that as a directive in item 3A? Could that be part of 3A, Steve, and be allowable?
Because so.
No.
Okay, so but we are going to talk about some items that are off compensation, but it would be simply about planning as opposed to...
Right.
Okay, gotcha.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But so, Ernesto, we're not going to be able to do this until the next board meeting,
the 12th.
Will we be able to have air conditioning for the new school year?
I'll find out. They're anxious because they want to start building these things.
I know for a fact that volleyball starts August 1st.
It has to be the 12th.
Yeah, that's fine, but I think you know
what the sentiment
is about. Yeah.
Yeah, if they want to build them, they can build them.
Oh, I know, but I don't know whether we can tell them to build them, because then we're committing ourselves.
No, we should wait for the talk to make that decision, and then we'll have
Let me, one second. Doesn't have it on here, huh?
No. Not even on the old one.
Yeah, just checking the attachments on your agenda. We'll have to do it.
The 12th.
Or do we have a board
We were supposed to go over it last. Yeah, because
last time, and so that I would have it ready for the 2018.
We
it was tabled.
Yeah, it was
we tabled it because we were late on the meeting.
And we ask him if we can, as we carried through with.
Well, I didn't want to presume, you know, to come in and say because it was tabled, to come in and say now it's an action item.
Because it's not an action item.
It would have to be next week. Sure.
Are we? Everybody gone next week? Everybody?
I'm having a committee meeting, but
next week.
Not Monday, July 4th, but not next week, the following week. Because the following week is
a regular board meeting.
That's right.
So if we had a special board meeting before his committee meeting on Wednesday.
Will it help you if we do it next week instead of the 12th?
Mm-hmm. Yes, 4 days. Definitely.
Yes?
So. Because it's all a timing of getting it into the manufacturer to start building these things.
Okay.
Because if anything, I just want him, as they finish him, I want him to send him in. Rather than wait for...
Or do we mind doing it on the committee night so we can just do a special one-item special board meeting?
You can have it the evening of the 6th or the 7th, July 6th or 7th. I won't be here.
That's fine. We're just going to be a very quick...
Mm-hmm. Ernesto, are you here next week?
I'm here.
Okay.
All right. When are you having your committee meeting, Mando?
What do you all want? Wednesday?
Wednesday.
Wednesday?
Wednesday.
All right, then let's do it for Wednesday. We don't need two nights.
Okay.
We'll schedule a special board meeting.
Can we
get to it? Bring us the information.
Very good.
Is that okay? All right. It's done.
Thank you.
Next agenda item.
Next item. This one's kind of a little, you had enough time to look at it to make sense of it, I hope. It's the kitchen and niches.
Yeah.
I tried to give the board as many options as possible.
Yeah.
Wishing not to confuse things any more than it could be, but I gave out some plan layouts, kitchen A, kitchen B, dining A, dining B. And the sizes, they vary in seating capacity and height. Okay. If you notice, the kitchen A has a 12-foot eave height. Essentially the same square footage as kitchen B, except that kitchen B has the 8-foot ceiling height. And there's a reason, is because kitchen B is, if the board decides to go with a modular building, that's as high as they can go.
12 feet?
First one is 8. Uh-huh. I mean, the B is 8. Uh-huh. A would be a metal building type, or conventional. We can go 12 feet high. Okay. The same thing with the dining facility. If you notice, it goes 18 feet in eave height. And then on C, dining, that's A, A, B. And then on C, it has an 8-foot ceiling height. That's a, that would marry with the modular facility. Okay. So if you look to item number one, it says modular structure, approximate cost. Now, even though I put the AE fee as a, that's just an estimate that I'm putting, okay, on the AE fee. That's a negotiated deal. It's something that's negotiated, but I had to put a number in there in order for us to reach to a total amount. And that one, we're looking at $665,000 for a modular facility that has a seating capacity of 208, which would mean that they would have two shifts. Right? Okay. Number two is a metal building construction, which would give us kind of like a masonry wainscot, just so that kids wouldn't hit the metal building, and then the rest would be a metal structure. Okay, and that by that I mean it's similar to the support services facility out there, except that it would have a skirting that would be a masonry, so that kids can won't damage the metal skirting. And that is 7,000 square feet, which is 480 seating capacity. And that has an 18-foot ceiling height, which means that you could use it for sports, you could use it for choir, you could use it for band, and for other activities, because it's got a high enough ceiling. Okay. And that's 900,625. Item number three is conventional. By conventional, I mean similar to maybe tilt-up walls or complete masonry with standard structural supports, and that would be around 1,107,562.
This is just construction.
Strict, like our schools.
Right, but that does not include the hookups and stuff. The community college, I understand, is willing.
Well, the hookups will be covered by
EPCC.
EPCC.
Okay. Through the chair, you asked me to look into all that.
Yes.
Spoke to Dennis Brown, the vice president. Also in the discussion was his lead engineer. The three things I found out. Number one, they can write into the contract that these larger buildings can be owned by the school district. So even though we're placing it there, we can write into the contract that we own it. So, and they were actually very open about that. Number two, they would pay, even if we owned it, they would pay the normal customary fees of the utility hookups and even the stuccoing. And it would still remain ours. Number three, the two main buildings in the El Paso area, two districts that have these, is Mission at Socorro and Trans Mountain at EPISD. Mission is a conventional building. It's not a portable building. And it seats about 250 kids. Trans Mountain also seats about 250 kids, but theirs is actually a module modular building that they actually could move. It's like, it's a giant portable, it's about the size of this room, and it can be broken up and moved if necessary. I actually spoke to EPISD about it, and they didn't see what was good about, they did not see the benefit of saying that it belongs to them if they can't move it. They thought it was kind of a catch-22. And so that's why they had a portable. But both the mission facility...
But I beg to differ, because we can always put in the contract that we will sell it to them.
No, I don't know. If they didn't talk about that.
I mean, we don't move it, but they can buy it from us.
Well, and something to consider is that if you end with a metal building, those can be removed. They can be broken down.
Broken down.
Yeah. And then moved somewhere else. Foundation, everything stays there, but at least you've got the metal building that you can move somewhere else.
But finally,
the metal building's going to depreciate, though.
It will.
So we need to take a look at, I apologize, Doc, but we need to take a look at this issue very carefully, because we do a modular building, whether it's metal or the other type modular, and if we're going to use it for 10, 12 years at least, and we decide to move it in 10, 12 years, what's the price going to be, and what's it going to cost us to move it?
Yeah, it's going to be cheaper to build another one.
Yeah. We're going to lose money on it. And so if we do a conventional structure, and we can try and talk to EPCC that we can, if they will agree that they will purchase it at a, we can always, find out what's that modular building going to cost, depreciate it over whatever years, and take a break-even point, and then we'll tell them, if we use it for X number of years, and we'll sell it to you at X amount where it's going to be, we're never going to lose out more than what we'd lose on the modular building. We might even come ahead, and EPCC will likewise come out ahead. Why lose money for both places? Manda?
I'm just thinking, I think if we're going to do this, we need to do it right. And that's one of the good things is that we did push it back that last meeting to really look at doing something instead of just doing a quick fix. I think we need to do this right. I think we need to look at maybe some concepts and some more communication with community college. I would like to see, I was talking to Betty, something where it's sort of, where you have the dining kitchen and the outdoor dining facility could be sort of multi-purpose use, where you could sort of like the Rudy's concept where you have those doors. And something that we were looking at, like the Sombia type, maybe a metal roof or something, but some type of neat concepts where maybe it's green, we could use the cement as the floor. Let's do it right.
Well, even whatever concept that you come up, I feel comfortable that this number, if you went conventional, if that's what you're referring to, we're good in that number. I don't feel uncomfortable that if you wanted to do something like what Rudy's has, with where you would open it up. I mean, the number's not gonna change. My number is a little bit inflated, and the reason it is because I wanna make sure that depending on when we decide to make this call, I'll tell you, well, it's good up till this point. But I feel comfortable that this number will hold.
And which one are you recommending?
I'm looking at three. Well, I'm looking at three. If that's what you're talking about, you said let's do this right. You're talking about going conventional.
Through the chair. My last point that I was trying to make. The dining A is 7,000 square feet to seat 480 kids. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And dining B is the 5,000 square feet to seat 240. I just wanted to point out that both Socorro and EPISD have that smaller one, the 240. So if we did go with the larger one, we'd be the biggest in town. And we actually have fewer students right now than either one of those programs. So
I notice also that the modular structure is a totally different. It's 4,480 square feet.
Yes, less.
And you're only going to put 208 kids in that one. But the one that you've got 3,500 square feet for dining, you're going to put 240 kids in that one.
That's a little bit larger dining facility.
Well, it says dining 4,480 square feet versus 3,500 square feet. So that's not correct.
Where
the modular is, it says dining at 4,480 square feet. You see what I'm reading?
Uh-huh.
I see.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair,
that's an error on my part.
Okay, yes, so London. That is not.
No, it's smaller than the 4,000. It's 35. It should be 35.
Okay, which is up at the top of that modular.
That's
right. So
that's an error on my part.
Do you know how many square feet that would actually be then?
I'd have to run those numbers again. But I do know that
it's going to be significant.
Actually, a significant. Actually, this number on the modular is I got it directly from the modular people.
Okay.
That is not my number. That is theirs. Their figures.
Right.
Uh-huh. So I feel comfortable that the numbers is still hold. That is their cost. And I called three modular suppliers.
But the square feet, I mean, this is erroneous information that it doesn't add up. And three suppliers couldn't have all given the same wrong information.
No, that's an error on my part when I typed it in.
Okay.
Yeah, that's an error on my part.
And
on the square footage and all that. So I'd have to give you a different square footage on that. I'd have to go back and look at what they gave me and give it to you.
And then how did the prices adjust?
Well, the price is the number that they gave me.
Okay.
So with the exception of the AEPs, okay, I put that number in there because they they supply you with the units, they bring them in, you still have to bring in somebody to do the engineering for the connections and the permits.
Which 7.5% is very steep.
And like I said, my number, I placed a steep number on them. That's not something you could should hold yourself to.
No.
I did that only because I would have to negotiate that, or we would have to negotiate that number down. But I'm using a 7.5. Usually when it's a small project, the fee is higher. When it's a bigger project, the fee drops. That's how
that's still really high in a hungry economy.
And I think a 7 would be appropriate, but again,
okay.
I wouldn't put too much weight on that.
Okay, thank you.
The other thing looking at, I mean, I don't know if we've had the chance, and we probably do need it to walkthroughs soon, but
yep.
one of the things that would be needed is because the bathrooms are horrible, not portable,
mm-hmm.
and so looking at, you know, mixing the bathroom with the dining facilities as well as it's not just a dining facility, it's going to be sort of a recreational facility.
And music, right?
Yeah. And so it's going to be a multi-purpose facility. So I would recommend that type of direction, and then the administration could come up with some concepts on that, and then we'll have a better idea, especially with some of the comments that you had mentioned with community college and the district. That would be my recommendation.
Doc, what do they do now at Neches in terms of the feeding? How many shifts, one or two?
I'm not sure how many shifts. I know that they have, basically they have two classroom portables that the kids can eat in and then outside. And the classroom portables are also used for teaching other times than the actual lunch times. So it's not optimal in any way. And most kids eat outside. In fact, a lot of kids go to the park down the way with their own lunch.
Mm.
They don't eat back. Three shifts. So
poor kids. Not to also confess that they don't have any real restroom facilities.
Well, we did add new restrooms this.
We added
some
portable.
This year?
Yes, this year.
Okay.
So they have two portables with restrooms.
Did you fix
the sinks already?
Yeah, they're repaired. The ones that froze were the ones that were installed initially. They were the first ones that they had. The new restroom facilities did not freeze. When I went in there to find out why, what the reasoning was, is that the first ones that were built are not insulated. The piping is not insulated. We have since insulated the piping.
Also, Ernesto, I know that there have been drawings done, and we talked a little bit about this with not only the dining facility, but I know there's been drawings done where there was actually offices prior to your time.
Yes, there was a master plan put together where it shows a gymnasium with a kitchen, and then they show the administration facility with, I think, additional classrooms and counseling rooms. Yes, two separate facilities.
That would be also something, if we're going to do concepts, we could build out and maybe include some of that as well.
We could bring back the I think you all had a chance to look at the original. That's what the architect told me that he had presented it.
I'd like to see that plan back again to see what it was, what that one was. But guys, think about it. From the smallest modular to the largest conventional, we're talking about $300,000 difference. So from having a modular of $700,000 for 208 kids, to having a conventional of $1 million for 480 kids. That's the issue.
And I would like to also really look at those offices. I mean, today we interviewed for the principal and some great candidates. Whoever gets this job as it currently sits will have a desk and a portable. When the person looks up, they'll see the assistant principal at a desk across the way, and back in the corner is the counselor. All three are in one portable.
Are they well compensated?
They're not well insulated from each other.
I have a question, just not knowing. This is all, you know, somewhat new to me. Do we have to keep that there on their property? Is there something tying us to that?
We have a memo of understanding with them that, or contract, really, with respect to that we were to provide the portables. They would basically provide all the other utility infrastructure, even the leveling to put them in there, and the hookups. And they would even plaster our portables. But with respect to those portables that are there, the understanding is that once we leave, they will own them after a period of 4 years?
It was 5 years. The
something
MOU
something
five
like that.
Years. After 5 years,
right?
They belong to them.
Yeah.
So theoretically, we could say we don't want it to be there anymore. It could be somewhere else on our own property.
Yes, and but the problem with that is that the whole point of them being on there is for them to be able to have to be go to classes there.
And like, for instance, we're very grateful
they're
to EPCC.
EPCC.
They pay the utilities.
Yeah.
NETS just does not have to have a summer shutdown because we don't pay a nickel of utility costs, and NETS just EPCC picks it off. So if we moved it, we would have the cost of moving, plus we'd have to pay utilities.
Because we are tied right into their bill,
ma'am.
And their lines,
yes,
and just the bill just goes right to their place.
Yes, yeah. That's part of the MOU.
It's actually
okay.
A good deal for us.
Yeah.
I understand. And our children literally go into their buildings.
Yes,
and learn from their teachers.
Yes.
Why do we have teachers?
Well, they teach the college course.
Oh, and our teachers teach the high school course.
And with some overlap, especially with our high school.
Okay. Thank you.
They are actually, Lori, they actually are, our students actually get the benefit of being students at EPCC. They can avail themselves of their facilities, including their library, anything else in their facility.
And do we have a library for them too?
No.
No.
We have a library?
They utilize the EPCC library.
They go
okay.
to EPCC
they
library.
Go to their stuff. And so the reason that we're there essentially is so that we can go into
yeah.
their building.
And use their facilities.
Participate fully in this whole early college experience with the
Okay.
It's a privilege to be next door to them. There's other early colleges that they're not next door, and the students are having to travel.
Yeah. Well, where my mind goes is, why isn't it on somebody's computer? Why don't we have, you know, the network capabilities that would allow that to happen? We don't, obviously.
Regarding?
To have classes, you know, that we could be
virtual?
Sitting. Yes, virtual classes. No, we don't do that. They don't.
Well, we might do some, but we also have the kids actually going over and being and participating fully in the EPCC experience and being in classes over there. One of the whole issues is those kids getting that collegiate experience.
Okay.
Being over there.
Thank you.
Dr. Murphy, and the problem is that, of course, EPCC does not have a cafeteria or a lunchroom or that kind of thing where our kids could go.
Right. Well, they do have one, and Dr. Ten is here. In fact, they've just expanded it. It's very nice, but it isn't built for all 300 of our students to show up at one time and eat.
400, huh?
400 now.
That's not for us to be able to put for our students.
Their students and our students at the same time. We can't even feed our students at the same time.
Yeah, they wouldn't get the reduced or free lunch.
We just make our risk of kidnapping.
We're going to. With this one. Okay. So
we can bring back as soon as possible concepts and additional further costs, maybe something a little more official from EPCC stating that it truly would be being owned by us, or at least some sort of proposal. I don't know if we'll get it all by the 12th is the problem. We can try.
Well, we have a cop, we have the master.
We can bring it up again on the 12th and then have another conversation, but it might be the next board meeting before the concept drawings and all of that are all.
Why don't we contact Socorro and see what they put in their contract with their conventional structure? Is what agreement do they have with them?
All right, we can do that.
I mean, let's find out. I'd like to know what they're planning to do with their conventional building once they decide that they part ways.
The other thing we'll be looking at, if we are going to build this type of facility, with how a community college would be able to, and where would we place it. I know the master plan, and I think we need to look at that as well, and then go from there. But, I mean, we don't need to rush to it. I mean, the sooner the better, but.
I just want to inform the board, I don't come back from vacation until the 11th. So some of these things,
guys, ideally, if we look at this as a long-term deal, I think ideally we want to go the conventional route, and we want this to be a mutual benefit to both EPCC and us at the same time. And we want to make sure that this, you know, we don't want to invest in a modular stuff that nobody's, you know, 10 years down the road ain't going to be that beneficial to either of us, for either us to move or to leave. And waste all that money.
Right, and the EPISD facility has a low ceiling, and it's not super attractive.
Which one?
The EPISD one. It's got an 8-foot ceiling, and have you been inside?
Yeah, they went.
Go ahead and say the real word, Doc.
They chose to go the modular route.
Right, and it's not. It'd be great if we could do the more. And Ernesto, no matter what you do on further costs, you need to add the acoustical treatment, because that's $80,000. You said it's not in here.
Yeah, but you know, after looking at my numbers, like I said,
you think you can get
feel
it
comfortable?
Because we definitely want Angie Morgan Thornton and whoever replaces her as the music teacher whenever she leaves to have that available for music space as well as PE.
And that's only, and I feel only comfortable with the number for the higher.
Right.
Facility, not your 8-foot.
But make sure that's in, because I can't imagine a scenario where we wouldn't want it acoustically sound.
Yeah, no, we're okay.
All right.
To include offices?
Well, we'll get that in. We'll bring that to you. That's going to change the cost structure, and we'll do some concept drawings, the site plan, the old drawing that showed the things, and new costs.
There actually was an overall, the master plan was actually detailed. as far as offices, classrooms. It's very detailed, and there was a number,
actually,
if I remember correctly.
Actually, in the old plan, what we had was not just the multipurpose and dining area, but we had the actual chemistry and physics labs as conventional building, because we didn't want to spend money. The board's thinking back then is we didn't want to spend money on huge chemistry lab modules, which we had to do.
Mr. Chair.
Rachel.
If at all possible, do you think we could have a walkthrough so that we could see what it is, actually see?
Yes, actually, we're set to do walkthroughs. We should have done them in May and June. Of course, we were busy with the bond and TRE, but I think that maybe within the late this sometime, I guess next month, we can go ahead and do it, do the walkthroughs.
So we can have a vision. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. If you will get with, who is it? Everybody get with Mondo on a date. I guess Saturday is usually the best in the morning to go do the walkthroughs, or an evening. And let's schedule one, and let's pick out, for sure we want to go through the Neches area, and then let's pick out one of the places I want to go is Alderete to see our master plan for where the band room and the gym are proposed to go. I really want to see what our proposal is for that.
How soon do y'all want to do that? I think school starts, what, August? July?
Y'all want to do it in July?
Yeah.
Okay. Mondo, schedule it for a Saturday when everybody's...
Saturday in July?
Saturdays are horrible.
Evening
would be more workable for me, truly.
Whatever the board's preference. Why don't you get some dates, have Tony call everybody on a few evenings that might be available, and we'll take a look at that.
Will do.
All right. Okay.
And then the next item in your package is, I think the board asked for a cost to remove the carpet in the fire room at Dunfield High School.
Yes.
And give a cost of replacing it with VCT or
tile.
Tile, ceramic tile. And I've gone ahead and given you my numbers, and I'm using the means book to come up with these figures. I know that they caused the $4,600 to be reduced when we asked for quotes. I feel comfortable.
Uh-huh.
So it's worst case, it's $4,600. I doubt it. I know it's going to be less than that. If we go with a vinyl composition tile,
mm-hmm.
or if the board wants to go with ceramic tile, I can ask for quotes on that.
Mm-hmm.
And worst case is $8,600. I feel very comfortable with those numbers.
Is that the preference of the band director?
All they wanted was a hard surface.
They
didn't specify whether it was tile or ceramic tile or VCT. What they were wanting is the acoustics. They wanted to get more sound bouncing around the space. Right now it's absorbed, and the preference was that they wanted to pick up a little more sound. Is it?
And what's VCT? You said tile would be no more than 86. VCT would be what?
4,600.
46. So everything else is tile in the school.
Right.
And is tile acoustically appropriate? Or is not this carpet like this?
It could be concrete. It could be concrete. All they wanted...
I thought they usually got the carpet and put the carpet on the walls.
What they want is just sound to bounce. And right now it's being absorbed by the carpet, and they're not getting... I don't have ear for music, but they're saying they're not getting what they want to hear. So their preference is to go with a hard surface. And of course, if you go with VCT, we have a maintenance issue that we have to go and burnish it and clean it out and all that.
But
if you go with ceramic tile, you can take care of it with soap and water. And it's a no-brainer. You know, it doesn't take much to maintain it.
What about staining?
You can stain it. In fact, he was open to that too. I spoke with the
rustic stain.
And he said, you know, even if you remove it and stain it, that's fine with me.
As far as I'm concerned, they can do whatever.
Yeah, I feel the same.
It's not that much of a price difference. We've got it in our budget. Let's let them decide what they want. That's
okay.
That's being over micro for us. That's mm-hmm.
Yeah. We'll ask and then we'll go whatever and then we'll just.
And if they wanted to wear, you know, if they want a hard surface, and since we have tile in the rest of the school, if they want to get the same type of tile to make it look,
you know,
we want to make sure that it's not a, if they do go with the tile, we want to make sure that it's not going to clash with
our. Yeah, it's not an eyesore.
Yeah, right?
If we go, whatever we do is we have to kind of blend it in with what we have.
Blend it in with the other, yeah. I'm fine with that. You guys, board? You guys fine with that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. And then finally, I'd like to just go over the 21 items, the list of the 21 items that were presented to the board at the last board meeting. Just to give you a little rundown of what the plan is. In your hands, you have something that's handwritten. I wasn't prepared to show this, but this is my handwritten notes. And then behind it, I think you see a little summary or a little graph of it that I decided to put it together so we could get a good picture of what we're looking at.
Yes.
If you look at the band drop-off, it happens at DDE and CES. They're $6,000 in each. It's all broken down. And it's something that I put together so that I can keep track of how the monies are expended, what savings we have, what we've completed, what we're continuing with. And just to, if you go back to the handwritten one, the one that's got my notes on there, if I could take you, there's a few items that are actually on the van drop-off zones. What we're talking about, there's nothing magical about that one. That's a sign with a post that says van drop-off and then a little paint, and that's it, okay? And that happens in three campuses. And then we have the sidewalk repairs that happens. That we do have to break the concrete and give a ramp condition because we don't have access for the handicap in some of our campuses. Drinking fountains, we actually start tomorrow with BCE on that. And on Friday, we're supposed to get the rest of the fountains. They really came in way, way under budget. So that's a good sign. In fact, it's below $10,000, way, way below $10,000 for all three campuses.
That's great.
Good.
Okay. You don't have extra money there.
Keep the list of the savings.
So, and then on the electrical upgrades, I'm waiting to meet with IT to kind of coordinate that because I really need to coordinate that. Those upgrades are for the new computer labs that they're going to relocate at the Mateo Elementary.
Mr. Brager, please make a note of that.
And then at Garcia, we have the lift station upgrades. We're still working on pricing on that.
I have a question.
Yes.
I know that I've asked this no less than 5 times, probably more like 10. About the Garcia lift station upgrades. And here I see installed one pump awaiting 3 more.
No, that's, you're not supposed to see this, but we copied this. No, we don't have it, that's the wrong one. It's the installed, if you go down to CMS.
Uh-huh.
CMS.
I see lift station improvement.
That's the installation, that's where that note should be.
Okay, so
we haven't done anything on the lift station. All we're doing there is providing.
That's what I thought, was security measures
it's
and...
Security measures, you're absolutely correct. These are just my written notes. I apologize for this. I was just asked to provide them just to let you know what we're doing really quick.
But truly, for the record, we are not putting any pumps there.
No,
okay,
no,
thank
not.
You.
No. And then we're getting numbers for the Ponding Rock riprap. If anybody's been out there to that ponding area, it's in excellent condition right now. They've really cleaned it out.
Yes.
As opposed to how it was. But one of the problems is that we have an erosion problem where our big concrete collectors are. And we could lose that, and that's where the riprap is going to happen, is to avoid that erosion from eating up that expensive concrete collector that we have in there. And then we're continuing some which is kind of about the ramp to allow us to get in with the tractors. We need to riprap that, otherwise we'll get our tractors stuck as it's going down. And that's where the riprap. Now, we've already got pricing on the slats for it also to visually hide both sides from the kids so that it wouldn't be a temptation to get in. The safety lighting, we're looking at proposals on that. Pedestrian path, also, we're looking at more of a bid than a proposal on that. We're looking at bidding that. On the re-roof, we're looking at a built-up roof, a pricing, a bid price for a built-up roof or a single-ply membrane. Okay, so that you can get two quotes on that so that you can decide which route to go. Okay.
Through the chair, President, a trustee had said that they were looking at this membrane roof for here, wanting us to get a price on it. It's important to point out that this roof is for a structure that is not heated or cooled, right? It's a big garage door, and it's a weight room, and the feeling was, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the feeling was that we might not want to put a really expensive roof on that?
Initially, it is conditioned, but initially I had looked at a built-up roof simply because of the costs, okay? But correct, board members correct in saying, why don't you give me both and let me decide? And I said, no problem, we can do that. That way we can present it to the board and you all can decide which direction, once the numbers come in. My initial cost of $130,000, which includes permits and all this other stuff, was based on a built-up roof. But who's to say? Maybe the single-ply membrane might come in at that cost, too. And then moving along, we have exterior painting, which begins not Monday. It begins, as you can see, I'm riding away and I'm trying to make our people work. But I'm looking at more next week where the painting for the Cantillo Elementary rear is going to begin. Okay, we already have that ready. The new carpet and tile in the band room, we've got some proposals on that already. It's coming in right in with budget. The new football field, as you know, is ongoing as we speak. The shades, we've gotten one proposal. I'm waiting for two more because I want to be able to get the best price on this. And there's some shade canopies that we're looking at Neches, because let's face it, going from one place to another, you're out in the sun all the time. And it's really an unbearable condition to be out there. So we're looking at that. At support services, we already finished the heating system. We've completed it. Okay, they've got heat. We're ready for the winter. Power upgrades, the same story. I'm meeting with IT to get their recommendation on that. And then on the grounds maintenance and equipment, vehicles and trailers, we're putting numbers together. We had some numbers previously, but they're revisiting, so to see if we could get better figures. And what I've done is, actually we've got the maintenance department committee. They formed a committee, and they're taking everybody out to see which type of equipment they are looking at. So there's a committee of about 12 people.
Tell us about that. That's interesting. I'd like to know more about that.
I assigned it to Pablo and Joe and the one person from each quote-unquote department, HVAC, electrical, grounds, and general maintenance, so that they can put together what they want to see as far as equipment, as far as a manufacturer, as far as a make, because they have the experience of those things, and then come back and say, this is what we're looking at, along with the numbers and the costs for it. And then they'll bring it to me, and I'll present it to the board. And of course, if it becomes one of those items that has to be bid out, it has to be bid out. If it's an item that we have to we can do without bidding, we'll get that. But I'll be sure to bring it to the board so that they can see what the decision is. And then wastewater, I'm working with NSI, which is the original designer of the wetlands, to put a spec together so that we can get this out and get a good number for the remediation, for the upgrade, I should say, of the wetlands. And we have to use that word upgrade. It's not a redesign, because if we don't use that word upgrade, then TECQ will come in and re-inspect us if we don't want to go there. We're doing an upgrade.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Mendoza and I are laughing, smiling to ourselves, remembering when the wetlands was originally set forth, it was going to be like a tourist destination. We were going to, I kid you not, we're going to have boats in there. Oh, yeah, it was going to be really something to behold. It was incredible. Guess it didn't work out that way.
Times have changed.
We just haven't gotten there, Amanda, where it's a work in progress.
Mr. Chair, if I might. Ms. Rose is done. I was out of town this meeting, so I had talked to Mr. Armandatis on this, and some of the concerns that I brought up, one was on the roofing, and my concern was, let's not just look at one option, let's go with the best option at the end. If it's cheaper to do the tilt-up, we'll do the tilt-up. But consistently through the last bond program, we did a certain type of roof that we looked at just consistencies across the board, so that way one campus wouldn't have one type of roof and the other. So if that, if we're able to do that same type, then and it comes in the same price and it's better, then let's look at it. So that's one of the things that I had discussed with them. The other thing that I talked to you about was, you know, the sidewalk repairs on 1-2I, as well as 3-3I, and then like the 4-2I, the rock riprap, and the 5-2I where there's a pedestrian path. Looking at some of those projects, because usually it's that same type of work where you put them together and possibly bid it, not just doing it separately, as well as doing it separately to see what's in the best interest of the district and what price we could get if we actually were to put those all together and possibly save the district money. But let's look at those options, and that's one of some of the stuff that we discussed at that. So once we get those bids, hopefully they'll come in lower and we'll be able to save the taxpayer money. The other thing, talking about the shade canopy, looking at the project that we're looking at, maybe doing that type of sombrero outside of the boards in conjunction or some type before we really look at that. The other issue that I had discussed was the lift station upgrade at Garcia Elementary. It says here installed, and my concern is that I really want to find out, and if there has been installation, one. If there hasn't, then what my concern is, I want to really look at when that development is coming in, so that way we could directly use that money to connect instead of using it on the lift stations. I know there'll be some cost to that, but I asked Mr. Armandatis to bring that type of information so that way we could see what type of decision we would want to make in the long run. What else did we discuss? That's pretty much it. So I had this discussion since I missed that meeting, but I just wanted to have it on record as well.
Yeah. And I agree. That's why, you know, and that's why I put this thing together right here, that chart, so that we can group certain items and get a group price rather than just go individually.
Right.
Because that's a better way of getting bids and proposals. With respect to the lift station, I agree. Right now, the lift station runs all the way down to borderland for the sewer. It runs to borderland, and that's not the same as the issue we have with water that runs to that property in Apodaca land? Do you have Padilla?
Padilla.
And that's three lines that we have for water that run a different way.
So to clarify, Mondo, you're asking to, because on your back page, Ernesto, you don't have those concrete riprap together. So maybe get with Ron and see if you can fit all the concrete and riprap together.
Yeah, no, I would put those together, yes. There's some things that just go well as a group for pricing it, and he's right, and that's the intent.
And I don't know if the wetlands would be in that. I think what we should look at is how much, if we can save money putting those projects together or separately, looking at both, looking at all options, that's what I want to see.
Yeah, unfortunately, the wetlands is a totally different animal, and that is...
It's probably a type of specification.
So you'll be bringing these bids on the 12th?
Most of them will be in on the 12th. As far as the specifications, it's going to take a little bit longer to get the specs together and then the bids.
When you're talking about bids, are you talking about getting quotes from different people, or are you just talking about going out for
bids? Going out for bids. That's why I say I don't think I'll bring it in. Okay. Some of the larger items, I don't want to do that. I don't want to get proposals. I want to get bids. So, you know, that's not coming in on the 12th, because that's going to have to go through to all the advertisement and that. And that's why I pointed out that some of them I'm waiting for specifications to be finished out in order for them to be bid out. Okay. That would be just really the wetlands, one, and the roofing that would require that. Just right now that I'm looking at, because they're large items. And I already have the specifications for the roofing, except that Ron doesn't want to stay here tomorrow or next week. Otherwise, he'd have it in his hands. But I have those ready.
Bid takes a minimum of 6 weeks. That's the very least.
It's a long lead item.
Yep.
But it's in the works. In other words, you'll be able to get the numbers on it. And
That's all, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to have sort of a conversation on record that we had.
Okay. Anybody else?
We'll bring this back as an agenda item again on the 12th and give you another update.
Got it.
Yes, sir.
Letty.
Mr. Chairman, I don't have my original paperwork, but you had mentioned that there was some items that were going to be done in-house.
Yes.
Which ones were you getting?
Well, the drink fountains, we're buying them, and then we're installing them in-house. That's just, let me go back to the list.
I think on the 12th, when we come back, we need to...
I can give you an example of which ones are. But usually the very obvious things, like the post with the sign, you know, we're doing that. The paint on CMS, that's in-house. Some of the work on the lift stations is in-house. We're actually fencing them as we speak, so that's in-house. Just offhand, those are the ones that are coming to mind, but I'll make a list of those items. That makes sense, you know. The drinking fountains, we purchased them, and our own people are installing.
Yeah. Thank you.
I encourage everyone to drive down to the football stadium. They're tearing it up.
Say they're putting it down.
No,
that's fast.
And we are doing the time lapse photography, so we're going to have that.
All right, board. Any other questions on this item, Ernesto?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Ready? All right, let's move on to the next agenda item.
Item 2C, 2011-12 compensation second plan presentation, Ms. Carrasco. And Mrs. Aguilera.
Martha. Imagine if it was Marsha.
We'd be the Brady Bunch.
Good evening, Board President, Board members, and Dr. Murphy. I'd like to start off my presentation this evening with the last slide of the budget presentation that you saw last week. I'd like to call your attention to the highlighted area that has revenues less expenditures. And we have it in the amount of $1,151,453 for board consideration on compensation for employees. I'd like to recap the proposal, the compensation proposal that we talked about last week. And it was to implement new pay scale structure affecting the minimum, midpoint, maximum daily rates. And also, it included a new salary schedule for teachers. We were to provide a 2% compensation increase to all non-Chapter 21 employees, to award all Chapter 21 employees, a step increase based on the new salary schedule, and to implement the TASB recommended equity adjustments as well as other CISD targeted adjustments. Overall, the original proposal had an estimated cost of $890,000. However, at the board's directive, we are now providing today additional compensation options for the different employee groups that we have. Now, the options that I will be talking about from this point forward are based on current pay scales. The amounts also that we're referring to here also include the fringes. For Chapter 21 employees, which is our nurses, teachers, librarians, counselors, and diagnosticians, we have three options. One of the options is a 1% increase from current base salary, which is an estimated cost of $178,800. A 1.5 increase from current base pay at an estimated cost of $268,221. And then the third option would be a step increase for a cost of $217,744.
Through the chair, it's important to point out that even though they have them grouped that way, actually the 1.5 is the most expensive as opposed to the step.
The additional compensation options available for the non-Chapter 21 employees, which is our administrative, clerical, the technology, and auxiliary staff, we have five options available. The first option is to restore 4 days to their work calendar. That is a cost of $248,370. Option number two is the 4 day calendar workday return plus a 1% increase, which is a $353,640. Option number three is the 4 day calendar plus a 1.5 increase from base pay, which is $406,257. Option number four is return 4 days plus 1% increase from midpoint at a cost of $359,962. The last option is 4 day calendar workday return plus a 1.5 increase from midpoint. So these are the options that we have available for the non-Chapter 21 employees.
And that's all on current salary.
It is on current salary. I would like also to caution the board as you're thinking about the options available, all of these options, three for the teacher group and five for the others. I would like to say that those percentages of increase that are on based on pay salary, because everybody is paid differently, the pay variances may become greater for individuals doing the same job at the same pay grade. because of that, because everybody is paid differently. Everybody has a different wage. And so for those that, if it's possible that because of the salaries, one employee may receive more than another, which would possibly result in a larger internal pay inequity. So I know that there was talk at the last board meeting that we wanted to be fair and equitable. So that would just be something to consider if we're looking at the pay increase based on base salary. So the summary of compensation costs. As we saw, the excess revenue over expenditures is $1,151,453. And as you saw on the June 6th budget presentation, there is a line item for $100,000 on a contingency line item. And so we went ahead and included that in there. So now for consideration, you have $1,251,453. So the original compensation proposal presented on June 22nd was in the amount of $890,000. The new options available to you range from $427,170 to $683,970. So between that range, any of the options, mix and match, whatever it is that you all desire, that is the range that we're looking at.
On these slides, what I've done is we went ahead and shared what we have as far as money for board designation, and then the different proposals and the revenues that would be remaining or we'd have to count on. So on the very first, the top portion is the original proposal that was presented on June 22nd. And that's with, of course, revenues of $1.2 million, and the original compensation proposal that was coming in at $890,000 with remaining revenue of $361,000. Now, these funds could be designated for programs or, again, whatever the board designated as the use for them.
And that does include $100,000? No, that does not include the contingency.
Yes, the contingency is part of that.
It's part of the $361,000.
Yes. On the lower half of the slide, I have two columns, and it's one column says lower compensation rate, and then of course the second column higher compensation. And so, if we went with the least expensive compensation plan, which would have been only the 4-day increase for the non-Chapter 21 employees, and then just the 1% increase on all Chapter 21 employees, being the teachers. We would be seeing the additional compensation cost of $427,000, which would leave a revenue of $824,000 still available for board designation. Under the higher compensation rate, we would be seeing a cost of $683,000 for compensation, and that would be taking the 4 days plus a 1.5 from midpoint increased salary for all non-Chapter 21 employees, and then the step increase for all Chapter 21 employees, which are your teachers.
Would it be the step or the 1.5?
Oh, I'm sorry, the 1.5. I apologize. And so that would leave $567,000 remaining for board designation. On this next slide, what we're presenting is additional staffing expenditures proposed. And we have two sets, recommendations made by Board of Trustees, and then recommendations made by administration. Under the recommendations by Board of Trustees, we have 4 additional teachers' salary set aside. If you recall from the June 6th presentation, we had allocated 8 funds for 8 additional teachers based on need, you know, once the new year came around. And so one of the recommendations was to increase that to 12 teacher salaries for availability, an additional counselor for the high school, and then 2 maintenance employees for facilities and maintenance. Those costs would come out at $364,000. And then the lower half, the recommendations by administration, is a salary of one technology programmer in the amount of $45,000, and then a salary of two curriculum and instruction facilitators. Again, all these are just for consideration, and these would come in at $150,000. So a total of administration recommendations of $195,000. Assuming that both proposals were agreed upon, the proposed staffing additions would total $559,000. So this slide is now a summary of the compensation costs plus the additional staffing provided, as mentioned in the previous slide. So based on the lower compensation rate of just the 4 days and then a 1% increase for teachers, we would have an excess of revenue of $265,000, even after adding the additional staffing proposed. And then on the higher end compensation, on the second column, if we use the 4 days plus the 1.5 for midpoint for all non-teaching personnel or non-chapter 21, and the 1.5 increase for all chapter 21 employees, which are your teachers and counselors and librarians, and then also adding the staffing proposed, that leaves an excess of revenue of $8,474. And again, these are just other options with, you know, numbers for you all to consider. On this slide, what we've done is discussion was also made to, I guess, just to see what kind of increases we had done to the programs as far as district-wide programs were involved. And the first bullet is the CAPE program operating budget was increased by $440,000. Now that is already part of the budget that was adopted, and it wouldn't impact the excess revenue we are in discussion with right now. Then the bilingual program received an increase in the operating budget of $150,000 as well. That is also part of the adopted budget. It would not impact these funds that we're discussing this time. And then, the addition of CATE elective teachers, law enforcement elective will be added to the Benefio High School campus, and a business teacher at Natchez. Again, these two are also part of the adopted budget, would not impact the funds that we have discussing right now. Comment was made, or request was made, to look into the Big Brother Big Sister program as far as how much it would cost to begin the program again. Going back to the research of when the program was inactive with stipends and supplies, operating expenditures, the costs were $150,000. So that is that line item that I included. So at this point, if you have any questions as far as the costs, recommendation.
Through the chair,
Doc.
Talking to council earlier today, and I know Diane Hidalgo has also been in contact about the four-day restoration. Our intent would be that the four-day restoration would be across all work calendars across the board, similar to how it was cut, and that it would be, our intent would be that it would be a requirement of that an employee could not opt out and say, nah, I like the new calendar. And I just wanted, and Steve wanted me to double check on this, would there be any other feeling from the board that if we did do the four-day restoration, first of all, would it be across the board? And then secondly, would it be required? And it's administration's recommendation that it would be across the board, that it would be required, but we're open to a board discussion.
All right.
Steve, did I say that right?
Yes.
All right, board. Let's take up the issue first of the four-day.
Yes.
Then we can get into the other discussion. In terms of it being required, across the board and required.
I have a question. Why only 4 days?
It's kind of a story, but the short version goes like this. When we looked at cutting 6 days, one of the elements within the discussion was that we did have jobs across various areas that we felt could, that the work calendar could be reduced in that, and looking across the region and across the state, the work calendars were less. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't the determining factor, but it was part of the conversation. So the feeling of restoring 4 days as opposed to six, it's more economical. It saves us approximately $150,000 because each day is about $70,000-$75,000. But then on top of that, there's also a part of the discussion that says we will be able to accomplish our needs with only 4 days. That 2 day could be a permanent reduction, and that actually is
I understand. Pop. Thank you.
And it also, and then the last point on that, Ms. Searles, would be administration's recommendation would be that the 4 day restoration would occur if board approves, and then that would be it. And there would not be a discussion next year about the additional 2 days.
I understand.
If there was a desire to be compensation increase next year, we would just do a compensation increase, but we would not.
So this would
be it.
And this would be the end of the discussion of 6 days. 6 days would be 4 days, right. And that would be the end of the story. I understand.
And then Steve and I have discussed, and I am still absolutely willing to reduce mine 2 days so that we're all even at the 224.
Thank you, Dr. Murphy.
All right. Board, any discussion on feeling of making it a 4 day requirement and across the board required?
President, I say one last thing. Steve also wanted me to mention, of course, an employee could take vacation days or leave days that they have just as they could in any other on any other day of their contract. If they're set 226, but they have 5 vacation days, that actually means they only work 221 if they take their vacation days. We could add 4 days, and then someone could elect to take those as vacation days, but that would be similar to any other type of calendar setup. So it would be required that it would be in their calendar, and then the regular rules of work would then govern how those days were actually at.
Gotcha. Monday.
I guess with the guidance of our council and our administration, this is my position on it. I would go with the 4 days as well as 1% increase across the board. So I would go with on option three options, which is 4, which would be number 1 increase from current base pay to the fifth page, which would be 4 days plus 1% increase on the non-chapter 21 employees. That would be my recommendation, but I'm also open to what the rest of the board thinks of that, or possibly looking at the option of the step increase and the 4 day calendar plus a 1.5 increase on the
plan. All right. Monica.
Martha, just for clarification, regarding when you're talking increase from base salary and increase from midpoint, increase from midpoint is pretty much fair across the board, right?
It is because you use your midpoint as a control factor. And as I explained last week in talking about salary scales, your midpoint you would take, if you're looking at the 1% midpoint, you're taking it from a fixed number. If you take it from base salary, like I said, everybody's salary is different. So therefore, some will receive more of an increase, their 1% is more because their salary is higher. The salary is lower, then it's going to be less. And like I said, over time, what this does, it creates those internal inequities in the sense that you have people doing, for example, teachers, let's use them as an example. If we don't do the step and we do it from a percentage, you have teachers that are at 60,000, and then you have the newbie that's at 42,000. Well, 1% from those salaries, their increase is going to be different. So it's going to create a larger pay gap in between the salary ranges. And what we want to do is to control them and get them as close to each other as we can. And so that's why usually your increases are based off of the midpoint, which is a fixed number.
I like the option of the step increase for the Chapter 21 and the 4-day plus the 1.5 increase from midpoint.
Mr. Chair, I had asked also for what it would look like with the 4-day calendar plus the 2% increase from midpoint, and I don't see that anywhere. Well, you know, the original, what the administration had come to us last week with the 2% across the board, at that same meeting, I had asked if you would give us the 4 days with the 2% as well.
We can calculate it from the 1%. We know what we know what the regular just 4 day is, and we know what 4 days with 1% is.
Well, the 2% that we talked about last week was based on the new salary schedules that TASB had developed. Basically, because after they looked at the schedules, the determination was that our pay plan was slightly behind the market. Mm-hmm. So that is why they went ahead and upped our pay scales just a little bit. It was conservative in the way they did it, but it was just the 2% was based on that plan.
But I like the 2%. I like the 2% over the 1.5.
The 4 days plus the 1% from base would be $458,910 as opposed to the $353,000. So it's an additional $105,000 for that additional 1%.
Okay, so Martha, what you're saying is option number two, the 4-day calendar plus the 1% increase from base salary.
From base would equal $458,910. I can calculate from midpoint for you.
Yes, thank you, please.
So you'll be taking number four and then adding a 1% from midpoint.
Right.
Yes.
That would be 105.
Yes.
Should be 358, whatever.
Right.
Oh, that's from base. From midpoint, it'd be an extra.
So, Ms. Sills, you're saying an option six would be, which would be a 4-day calendar plus a 2% increase from midpoint.
Yes, sir.
It would be an additional like 60,000 on the
60,000 on top of the 458.
No, right. 415.
On top of the 415.
Okay.
Yes.
So, be 475.
Yes,
458. And so for 475, 758, all of our employees would get their 4 days back on their calendar and a 2% increase from midpoint, which is what Martha Carrasco, you're saying that is really a better option than just across the board.
It is more fair than what
okay.
we do it from midpoint.
Thank you.
75, 70.
While everybody's thinking about this, I did have time to speak to a board member from Clint. They got rid of teams. They canceled their contract and got rid of them because they were so unhappy.
Mm-hmm. We did have two conversations over this week with teams, and they suddenly have become much more flexible. It still is a concern, but the feeling is that between a combination of team's effort and our effort, that between the two of us, we can accomplish the 4 days, and that we can do it without requiring these funky Saturday work sessions.
Good.
So we are going to be able to get there, and we appreciate that. And teams did come around last week, last week and this week.
Thank you for trying.
And we have provided them the new schedules on the calendars.
Great.
So they're going to be working with that
good.
In the next few days.
You know how
we're very interested in our board
tell us I see
meeting last week. Very interested.
I think I'm going to take the Clinton board members out to dinner.
Ms. Searles, if
what would be your thought on the teachers? If you're doing a 4 days and 2% for midpoint proposal or thought on the non-chapter 20, what would be yours on the teachers?
Probably a step increase. Is that more or less, I hate to be ignorant, but is that more or less than the 2%?
It's the middle ground for the three options that we have. It's the one right in the middle.
But compared to the 2% plus 4 days, it would be less than, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would be less.
Would the 1.5, well, it would be 1.5 versus 2%.
Well, you got to remember that the teacher pay scale does not have a midpoint range. It's based on years of experience. So it's a step, you know, based
yes.
on years, it graduates. And so it doesn't have that midpoint range. So that's why we were, the options that were given, you know, based on the discussions that we had, it was, you know, 1% from base salary, 1.5 from base salary. And then, of course, the option that we have is the step increase, which is what they normally had from year to year.
Last week, you had a 2% increase, am I correct?
It was built into the new salary
yes.
schedule.
And did that come out to their advantage over the step increase?
That was
which is more advantage? Okay, that
it was.
So there is no advantage to them having 2% or a step increase. Am I confusing?
A 2% instead of the step increase would be $357,000. And so last year's presentation, last week's presentation.
Can you go back to the teacher slide, please?
Last week's presentation was we had the new steps
yes.
with it, and what happened was that they took last year's steps and increased them by 2%.
Okay.
So technically, they were.
There was a step in there.
There was this. Okay.
The percentage was built into the steps.
Okay, so that.
So it's a new salary schedule. Right now, the options that we're talking about are based on the current salary schedule that we have in place.
So the more advantageous to them would be
the 2%.
The 2% on the new salary schedule.
Well, even on
the old.
We have right now, it's the 2% is the best option.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Anybody else? I have some questions. First,
do you want to go to the next agenda, or do you just want to stand?
Well, no, I have some questions first on this issue before we go to the next agenda to approve it. One, the on page 4 of the presentation, the additional staffing expenditures. My understanding, the reason I was recommending another counselor for the high school was I thought that there hadn't been any provisions, but apparently one of those PEZs is not a counselor, but it's another.
It's the college readiness.
Right.
But it is not a PEZ. It's already
part of the budget.
It's part of the budget already. Okay.
But is it a counselor or is it more of a clerk?
No, it's coordinator's level position.
Okay. It's a coordinator position?
It's coordinator level position. And it's a college readiness. And I don't know if you landed on facilitator or coordinator, but that's
it's an administrative paid grade position, requiring a degree. So it would be the intent from the job description is that it would assist with the students with, you know, preparing what they need to do for college. So it would assist the counselors.
What's the pay grade? What's the difference
it's
in the pay?
Administrative pay grade 3.
And the counselors are?
The counselors have their own pay structure currently. In the.
What's the price difference? Give me a ballpark.
I would say probably maybe $10,000.
$10,000? So why don't we give them an additional $10,000 to get a counselor that can do that and help with the counseling.
Instead of a college readiness?
Yeah. Doc?
I agree.
Do you agree?
We could have a counselor that would also do that.
an additional counselor in.
So would you, so not the coordinator position, but a counselor position?
Well, okay. Well, let me tell you, part of my issues with the counseling department is that I feel that they are hand-tied in doing what they're supposed to be doing because of other activities, like a lot of clerical stuff and a lot of coordinating stuff, like this coordinator that they want to do, and they're not really doing a lot of counseling. I have a problem with that. I have an issue with that. They need help. The alternative would be, let's get them some clerical help and get them a counselor instead of a coordinator. I don't know what Jim feels about that, but it seems to me that they spend a lot of time doing stuff that I know is part of their job, but they still don't spend a lot of. He pulled it away? Okay.
And perhaps the idea was because he was going to have the coordinator.
The coordinator.
That position, as I said, is at an administrative pay grade 3. Entry level, and again, it depends on, you know, the experience that the person comes in with, but if we do it at that level, the entry level pay would be about $45,600.
And what's the clerk's?
This is just the base pay. I'm not talking the fringes.
Right.
And then if you do the counselor at a years of experience, remember that counselors are on a step. And so at step zero, it starts at about $50,000.
50? So you're talking about 5,000 and change?
Yes.
Plus bennies.
Like I said, the one at the administrative pay grade 3 is at, it starts at 45. But again, you know, it depends. You know,
well, and what was the clerk that they had there? What was their salary?
They're around
20.
20? No more than 25.
Well, why don't we give him his coordinator and the clerk, or his counselor and the clerk? I really think, guys, that I think some of the stuff that our counselor's been doing is not counseling work.
Well, maybe then we do want the coordinator in the sense that if you just give another counselor, they're just divvying up more, but if you get a coordinator, they'll literally pull that work off the counseling center.
That's what I'm saying. If he wants the coordinator, but the counselors still are doing other stuff. We're talking the coordinator for just the college readiness stuff. That's it. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to micromanage. I just want to make sure that our counseling staff is doing counseling.
Yeah.
And they're not. I know they're not.
The coordinator is already built into the budget.
I know they're not. I mean,
well, sir, we could just let it lay the way it is. We could do this. We could lay it, they'll get their coordinator, and then you give the 60, and they get another counselor. They get both.
I don't know, board?
How is it built into the budget if that position wasn't there before?
Because he gave up his high school allotment funds. He says he didn't need the funds as he could better utilize the high school allotment funds to help
the coordination.
Push the coordination of college readiness versus just for supplies. And so we use part of his allotment for that.
And his clerk money, basically.
No.
Because he took the clerk out, right?
Well, right, but he's going to hire a clerk into a different role.
Oh, okay. Just not at the counseling office.
Not in the counseling center.
Okay. So it seems to me like now the counselors, they're going to have their work of the college readiness taken away from them. But now they're going to take on additional duties of clerk.
Yes.
He had two councilman clerks assigned, and he's removed one. So there is one there.
There's one there.
Yes.
Most high schools only have one clerk in their counseling office.
Okay, I thought he was just getting rid of not having anything. And how many counselors do other high schools have our size?
We're not completely out of range. We have four at 4A high school. That's not unusual.
Martha, why don't you just come in?
From what I remember, one, maybe two, and I know that Jim had two at the campus.
All right, so.
If you leave that proposal the way it is, he has his coordinator and he gets an extra counselor. So he'll add two people that will kind of do that function. If you take that $60,000 away, he'll still get his coordinator because he's already budgeted for that money. The middle ground would be to buy him another clerk if you want to restore that, then you could reduce that $60,000 down.
Right.
Mr. Chair?
Monday.
I think what we can do is just leave it the way it is right now. Not the concern, but the goal that we've set forth when it comes to the graduation requirement and possibly looking at making it a policy this year, and being able to pull some of that as well as
have the additional flexibility to get the counselor in.
And just to leave it in budget. I mean, if we do it mid-year or something, I mean, just to have it in there for. Safety net.
All right, board. We're really gaining right now the way he's structuring, and I didn't know about that other clerk. The way he's structuring it, he's losing about half a position. So he still doesn't have the full extra person there.
Well, the person's there, but it's going to be more requirement.
No, because he's losing the clerk. He's losing a clerk. And he's gaining one other person that's
at a higher level.
There's one, I mean, human capital, there's only one person that hurt.
Right.
Now it's turning into a coordinator.
Right.
Different. So the human capital is just one, so he's not gaining.
He's not gaining anything.
One more. Human.
Right. Right. I would like to see. Ward?
Mr. Chair, I have
Rachel.
A question on the additional staffing. On this staffing that we're talking about, does this include like your insurance, or is it just the salary?
The numbers that Martha gave were just salary, and it'd be an additional about 12-13% for benefits.
Okay, and then it says there are four additional teachers if needed. Are they needed, or is it just going to be kept there just in case the need comes up?
Yes.
And those needs will be brought forth to the personnel committee. And then as we see as the personnel sees that there is a need because of increased enrollment or, you know, whatever else comes up, then the requests still have to come before personnel.
And if they're not needed at all, this will just...
Savings.
Last year, remember, Rachel, we had five?
Five
of those additional PEZs or positions, and we used them all up within...
True, but we did not use any more.
Right.
And so we were able to hold the line. I'm thinking that out of the 12, that we'll maybe use more than five, but I don't know if we'll use all of them.
Okay. All right. I just don't, well, and I want to be over cautious on this because we told the community we want to have enough teachers. This was all about the teachers. And that we were going to keep, make sure that we keep the numbers down between teachers. So I want to make sure that we have. Can you imagine if we come September and we don't budget and we need more than eight positions and we didn't budget for them with a TRE passed? How would we look? And we're spending money on other things and raises. We've got to hold true to the community and tell them that we better save money to make sure we back up what we said that wasn't going to happen. Mm-hmm. So, and if we save them, great. We'll have the money for next year. But
I do have one option for you also. I know that you've been talking about 12.
Yes.
But you've also been talking about the contingency fund. We talked about
right.
that today.
Can you go to the slide that shows that if we go with the option 5, that we're only left $8,000? Sir, if we go with the higher compensation rate, which is the 1.5 for teachers and the 1.5 at midpoint plus the 4-day restoration, we eat up everything, and the staffing proposal, we eat up everything but the $8,000, and we don't have that $100,000 in contingency.
Right.
If you would entertain possibly, instead of 12 PEZ, that we would use 10 PEZ, that would get us $100,000 back that could then go into contingency. But then we could, out of contingency, if we needed two more PEZ, pull out. But you'd turn that $8,000 into $108,000, basically. Martha, is my math correct? If you used only two additional PEZ instead of four,
right,
you could still tell the community that you budgeted for 10 additional teachers, and you would have $100,000 in contingency as well. That would just be something to think about, because that $8,000 is pretty tight.
Well, actually, if that 244 represents
422, if we only use two, we'd have an excess of 122,000.
And that probably would include benefits, really.
Yeah.
So that would be a thought to reduce your request from 12 to 10, and then you would save that 100,000 on contingency if you wanted to go with the more expensive option. Now, if you came back from the most expensive option, you'd have your contingency even with the 12.
Okay. All right. One other question is on the 351,000 or 61,000 that was in the additional budget staffing. The technology program, and I'm looking on page 4, the additional staffing. Is that enough, Annette?
Actually, that position is for a technician, sir.
Uh huh.
And that's
about. Go to that slide, Mark.
It's for a technician.
Uh huh.
And what it is we just need an additional tech, and that would be.
Our team of one has now grown. Pam has Judy Jimenez, and now she has Nelly Sanchez, and then her desire is to get two more on top of that, and that's what that would do, give her two more people, so she got Nelly and two others additional to round out her team.
So it'd be four total in...
Four total.
In addition to the one we already have.
Well,
is that off the table?
No, it's still on the table. Yeah, Patsy, the 2% that was presented last week is $890,000. The issue with that one is that will pretty much kick out if we include four additional positions for teaching positions and the counselor and the two maintenance employees.
So
that gets rid of our $100,000 contingency amount.
I see.
That's
so
why
would,
that
we
one
wouldn't be able to
we wouldn't be able to do that.
Also, Also, the issue there was that it would not have a four-day restoration. It would just be a 2%
exactly. increase. It wasn't, we weren't restoring them to 4 days. We were just giving them a 2% increase. And actually, if you take a look at what was provided to us on the how it's affecting everybody, just with the 4 day restoration, if you look at the increase on people in our, that's approximately a average of 2% increase. And then if we give them another 1%, it's even better than what it was. So you can take a look at the net effect on the percent increase, both with just the 4 days and the 4 days and the one. This is actually a better long term for the employee. All right, my feeling is that that we ought to do the 4 days and 1% from midpoint. That we ought to do the teacher's step, and that we ought to reserve that $364,000 for the additional recommendations, including the other $195,000 for the technology programmer and the facilitators, the technician. So if we do...
And the counselors?
And the counselor,
and
the counselor. All total of that would be 559, is that right?
Yes.
Go to the slide, please.
And so if we do 559, if we do the 4 days plus 1% from midpoint would be basically 360, right?
Right.
That's 9. That's 800 and... 920, right?
912.
Is that right?
912.
912? Yes. Okay. Now we're just doing right now the 559, which is the right? So the additional staffing, and I've added the 360 for the 4 days plus 1%, right? Included in that is not the 100,000 contingency, right? So if we add the 100,000 contingency, that brings us to 1,020,000, right? And we have the teacher step is 217. Let's just round it out to 220, right? That's 1,240. And we have what, 1,251? That's my...
The three items, the 559, the step, and then the 4 days plus 1.1% from mid is 1.1 million. And we have 1.2.
Okay.
We
have 559,000 on the additional staffing. Okay, that's 559. Okay, and 360 for the 4 days plus 1% at midpoint. Right. Let's round it out. 560 and 360 is 920. Right. And then 220 for the teachers is 1,120, right? 1,140, right? And we have 1,251, right?
1,250.
So we add 100,000 for our contingency, brings us to 1,240.
The 1.2 is with a contingency, the 100,000.
Is with a contingency? I thought we had 1,251.
That's with a contingency. If you notice the second slide with the yellow highlight,
Yeah?
That was 1.1. Excess revenues is 1.151.
Okay.
Then if you add the 100,000 for the contingency, which you can see on slide 6 or page 3 in the presentation.
Okay.
There I take the 1.1 plus the 100,000, and that gives you 1.2. And so that is the fund, the revenue that's for consideration.
So in the 1.1 is the 100,000?
No.
1.251.
Right, that's what I'm saying. We've spent 1,000 or 1.240, right? So we're $100,000 short? That's why I'm saying we're $100,000 short for the contingency, basically.
In other words, it's excess revenue, 111 excess revenue, or the 100,000
contingency. Or the 100,000 contingency is what we're talking about, right?
Mr. Chair?
Mando.
Okay, one, let's say if we go with the step increase to 17 plus the 1.5 on midpoint, that total 635. Am I correct?
633502.
Yes. Plus 559.
That's
1.192. 1.192. I'll leave us 1.1. I'll leave us a $50,000 contingency. That would be my recommendation.
At least 58,951.
We go with the step increase, a 1.5 increase from midpoint, and then the additional staffing as proposed. But we would need to go to next.
So, in other words, instead of 360 on the non-chapter 21, we'd be going at 415, right?
Correct. So 415 plus that 217 comes out to 633,502. Mm-hmm. And then the additional staffing as proposed, 559, which would go to that 1192, which leaves us with the 58,000 contingency.
Yes, that's correct.
Mm-hmm. I come with 1.295. Okay. And we'd have only
that leaves $58,000
contingency.
Are you still wanting the four?
Whatever's in the additional staffing as proposed.
Okay.
Yes. Is the board pretty much in unison with respect to adding the additional staffing?
Absolutely.
Everybody?
Yeah, absolutely.
The 559?
Yeah.
Can you show that slide one more time, please?
Huh?
I'm okay with it. I just, if it's already in the works to hire a coordinator to handle the college readiness, I'm not necessarily sure they need another counselor there, because that is a big part of the job in itself. So I think that'd be too much, but.
Mando?
We should leave it open as the addition of teacher,
and given the teachers that they need at the campuses, we might already supply that to the campuses as college readiness because they had already requested it ahead of time. And giving them an additional counselor, I think we're duplicating that.
Is Mr. Fry's vision like to have that coordinator run like the GO Center and that's going to facilitate?
Be a big part of it. And I apologize, of course, Mr. Fry's at Harvard University today at that thing, and so he's not here, but that's, yes, the GO Center and the college readiness, the scholarships, part of the scholarships, the SAT testing, the AccuPlacer, the implementation of our requirement that they all apply to college, the FAFSA, STAR,
Mr. Chairman,
the EOC.
Doing that transition and
STAR is
pushing out
back,
so there's a lot
of that. They're
going to
be the testing coordinator?
Also.
This
college readiness person? Yeah?
My thing is either or.
Mr. Chair, the only thing is, I mean, we've had four counselors since I was there, and that was 2002, and they never counseled anybody, and we're a growing district. I mean, we're growing in numbers. We're trying to put an emphasis on the college readiness, and we still need to provide that, that aspect of what that department is. And let's see how it works. If it doesn't work, I mean, that, they usually...
I totally understand what you're saying, but I don't think getting more and more people is going to change the way people, it's the direction they need to be given. I work there, I know, I get it.
I agree.
So I don't think the more staff we put on board is going to fix it. I think we need to change the direction of it and give them some guidance of this is the route we want to take. I think either or would be sufficient for the amount of students we have.
I think right now what we're currently getting is, I mean, especially with the senior counselor, we saw a tremendous improvement, and how can we make all of them be like that?
Exactly.
As well as providing some support. So let's see if the support works. If it doesn't, I mean, we have counselors speaking there every so often, so we could pull that support.
Well, let's try to do a college reading this year, and if it works, we'll give an additional counselor next year.
I'm in agreement with providing the counselor, because I mean, I've seen it. I was there. I mean, you were there too. I mean, that's not tonight. And I mean, it's been a consistent problem throughout the years. So let's see if we provide that support that's needed. And then if we see a change where we're like, wow, okay, then let's we're able to.
But why don't we give Mr. Fry's vision a chance? I mean, if he has this in mind that he wants to hire this college readiness individual, and if they're going to pick up the bulk of that, you might see some real differences. I mean, if that's his vision, why don't we support that and try that instead of not even giving it a chance to work and picking up somebody else?
But we're not adding an additional staff member to that team. We're just changing it from a clerk to...
No, he already has a clerk.
No, he has a clerk, but he has two clerks. He's changing that clerk to but he's the other clerk is going to be at the higher position.
No. So consider hiring somebody to fill the college readiness position.
He'll still have one clerk in the counseling.
How many clerks did he have?
Two.
He had two with the counselors, and he's chosen to move one out, leave one there. And then we've created, it's a new position that's created the college readiness.
But the other clerk was just handling transcripts, that's it.
There's no additional staff member in that whole. We're not adding one.
Yes?
No.
Well, I see what you're saying.
What I'm saying?
We're not adding additional manpower.
We're not adding anything. I mean, just somebody that's degreed is going to have more responsibilities towards the GOAL Center and college readiness, and we're not addressing the fact that our kids aren't being counseled.
I have a solution for that, guys. Why don't we put that counselor into the PEZ pot? And if he needs it.
I like that. I like that.
We don't have to wait till next year.
Then that 60,000 goes
like
into that.
You like that idea? Guys?
So now we have 13, or you want to use one of the 12?
One of the 12. No, it's
just put the 60 into the PES pot.
You just put it in the PES pot if it's needed. And
careful how you say it.
PES pot. You started the PES.
So I guess we're the dispenser.
The dispenser.
I like that.
The dispenser of units.
So awful. I'm 1984.
All right. Fine with the board? So we still have the same 559 then, 560,000. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that leaves us at, it's 560. This teacher's step is 220, right?
617.
Well, I'm just rounding off.
Yeah.
220. And the 4-day 1.5% midpoint is 415. Mm-hmm. It's really 416, guys. Anyways.
For the record.
That's 1,196.
How much is
what?
I'm sorry?
Leaving what?
Which leaves us with?
Can you take, go back to the teacher page, please?
55,453.
55,000 in contingency? Are y'all comfortable?
I thought it was 58.
Well, I want to spend it up.
Well, I'm looking at
the 1.5.
Which we could afford because that money is there.
From current pay?
That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, that's what we're... 1.5? That's what we're...
1.5.
The 1.5 increase
from base.
Yeah.
From base, not from midpoint, right?
You want base?
No, we're talking about that chapter 21.
The teachers. She's talking
I'm
about...
I'm talking about the teacher.
Oh, okay. If you do the 1.5 on the teachers, which is option two, you do have the money to do it because there's about $58,000 left, Martha, and that would pay for the difference between the two.
Would it?
And then the non-chapter 21, I'm looking at 1.5 increase.
I don't think it will.
If you do the 1.5 from the teachers, it will be from their base pay.
If we take the 4-day plus 1.5 from midpoint, which is... We'll round up to 416. And then we take the 1.5 for teachers from their current pay, which is
270.
683, 974.
270?
Right, 268 to 21.
Mm-hmm.
So we round up.
All right.
And then 560.
Mm-hmm.
That's 1,246.
That's pretty close.
Leaving.
5,000 in contingency.
Leaving $5,453.
Then I would say, right, but then going back, and whatever, but going back to what I said, if you drop PES from 12 to 10, you'd get 100 grand. And you'd still say you had 10, and last year we only used 5.
But, Mr. Chair, the reason why I went from a 1% to a step increase was because of the fact that we were discussing that across the board, if you do that, that puts some inequities.
I agree.
I'd rather just go with the step increase, and then next year let's look at what we have.
I agree. We're some of this money we're going to spend it next year anyway, but we don't want to perpetuate now more inconsistencies. And if we do just a straight percent on the teachers, that's what we're doing. And if we do just a straight percent on employees, that's what we're doing. So the step is more in line with what we want to long-term do, and so is the midpoint on the non-chapter 21. We don't want to increase this year because we want to use up all the money, increase those inequities that next year we're going to have to remedy somehow. Mm-hmm. Remember, we're talking about next year coming back and fixing those inequities, and we're not going to have money left over for that. How much were those equity adjustments, more or less, that y'all were talking about from TASB and the district ones?
890.
Total was 890,000.
No, but that included the two, but just the equity adjustments to the pay scales, remember? We don't have a figure on that?
I don't have a figure.
See, we're going to run into that.
The TASB adjustments were 53,000, rounding up, and the internal adjustments, we're looking at $61,000.
See, that's $100,000. We're spending that.
$73,000.
Guys, I think we ought to do the. So that's about $120,000, más o menos. So. And with what we're doing now, that we don't have any contingency other than $5,000, right? Mm-hmm. So if we drop it by 120, what we want to do next year with these equity adjustments and see how we're going to do them. See, we'd need that 100,000 contingency. Mm-hmm. Right? So that next year we could do that.
You also, well, we've already adopted the budget.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't take another $100 fund, because could they do that?
I'd have to have a board resolution. I'd have to bring forward.
Yeah
that's
create a, you know, last week we could have done that.
You can do it again. You just bring it back, just like you brought it last week. You bring it on the 12th to us, and that's we adjust the budget, and we adjust our fund balance accordingly.
I don't want to do that. That's going to cause us some issues with respect to the, not just our auditors, but our first rating. So if we do, that would mean the difference is basically 50,000 from the teachers and 50,000 from, or 60 and 60, right? Which would mean 4 days and 1% instead of 1.5 from midpoint. And a step increase instead of the 1.5. There's the 120,000. Okay. Right?
Going back to the equity question, if I may, President.
Yes.
So I'm hearing what you guys are saying is that the step is more equitable on the teacher than giving a percentage.
Yes.
Would there be any feeling that you'd want to give a step plus, like a step plus one, or? Point, or even a 0.5, or step plus 1.5, something like that.
It still creates an inequity. It's just
if you gave a 4 day plus 1.5 to non chapter 21, and then a step plus 1.5.
Oh, well, we can't afford that. No, that's clearly way off.
And not only that, the teachers got a step increase last year.
And the employees didn't.
They didn't.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, the teachers did get an increase last year, and the employees not only did not get anything, they got cut. The non-Chapter 21 got cut by 4%. No. Take that back. 3%. 3% and change.
And no raise.
And no raise. Right.
There is a pay structure for teachers in place already, which
right.
is this step scale. And if we add the percentages in there, we're kind of waiving off,
right.
off the salary schedule. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
A step with a plus a 1% would be $396,544, and a step with a 0.5% increase is a $307,144.
That's still almost $80,000 more. The half percent, right?
A half percent.
Yeah, that still provides then more inequities down the road. I think next year we ought to just take care of that with the step with the teachers again, if the state doesn't.
Well, next year also we can go back for another TASB study.
Yeah.
And Monica's point last week about getting a committee
consistent
together that looks across the board at equity along with the TASB study and start a lot earlier.
I think that's
this year we had a problem with the timeline due to the TRE.
Yeah, I think we really need to study this, and we had to start early to get that done so we can fix our issues, because we can't just do it piecemeal.
Call it the Monica plan.
The Monica plan. All right, any other questions, guys? Are we
on the next item?
Next item.
So I guess to recap, we're doing the step for teachers.
Well, that's what we're going to take up right now.
Item 3A, consider approval of 2011-12 compensation.
What about the stipends?
Mr. Chair.
One other question. Before we move on to the next agenda item, Lori had a question on the stipends. I suggest that we put those off till the next board meeting. There's no issue to have to do them now.
But
that's my suggestion.
I'm
we
good
we
with
can
that.
Still do it on the 12th.
I'm fine.
We're still.
We'll bring it back on the 12th.
Yeah. Is that okay with everybody? All right. Okay.
Mr. Chair, I make a motion that we give a step increase to our Chapter 21 employees and to our non-Chapter 21 employees, that we add 4 days to the calendar as back to their calendar as given direction by administration, plus and our legal counsel, as well as a 1.5 increase from midpoint, as well as including the additional staffing expenditures proposed by that are being proposed.
I'll second.
We can take it up right now. Okay, we have a motion and a second before the board on agenda item 3A to approve the 2011-12 compensation plan. The stipend plan on this agenda item will be postponed to the July 12th meeting by unanimous consent of the board. The motion before the board is to, for the compensation plan, is to add a 4-day restoration to the non-Chapter 21 employees plus 1.5% pay increase from midpoint, and to add a step increase to the Chapter 21 employees. Is that correctly state your motion?
And the additional staff.
And includes additional staffing as presented by administration to the tune of $559,000. Yes, at this time, I'm asking, before we continue discussion on this, I'm going to ask the board to suspend the rules so we can have public input, since this really was an item that should have been discussed at the public hearing last week. I'm going to ask the board to suspend the rule. I'll pull the board at this time. Rachel?
Yes.
Yes.
Patsy?
Yes.
Lori?
Yes.
Monica?
Yes.
Yes.
Betty? And okay, we have unanimous consent of the board. At this time, we will open it up to public input on the proposed motion before the board with respect to the compensation plan, that it in reality affects the entire budget. So anybody out there in the community wish to speak, please come forward.
Seems fine, although 1.5 seems a bit maybe hurt the budget. So we've got to be concerned about the budget. Teachers, there are several issues with just a step increase. Those people, the young ones who are 30 years, will get nothing. Peak to 30 years. So I don't know if something can be done for that category. I don't know how many people are 30 years.
There is consideration for those that are maxed to still obtain the last step increase from, say, the year prior to being at the max level. There is consideration for
that. Okay. Also, I think most teachers would be pretty satisfied with the step. I think a lot were probably expecting nothing at all. So the step is okay. The concern is going forward that we're really out of skew compared to the other districts in the county. For zero experience, we're ahead of Tornillo, we're behind everybody else. In my eye, 14 years, and we're the lowest And this really doesn't address the inequities, and hopefully we can do that next year. But just know that there are some problems with the pay scale. And ultimately, you know, I'm at the point now, I'm not going anywhere, this is not a threat. I'm not negotiating very well. But for some, money still is important. And we earn, at 14 years, we're at $4,500 less than Clint. We're $4,000 less than Anthony. So just keep those things in mind.
Thank you. And we do realize that, and that's why we want to take our time to do the study that we're proposing for next year. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure we get this right, because we have a lot of inequities, not just on the teacher side with the rest of the for market within the region, but also within our own district we have inequities. So we realize that. Anybody else?
Good evening, Lily Maldonado for the record. I'm gonna ditto everything that Mr. Fintel said. It is true. There is huge gaps between the districts. But I'm going to correct you, but maybe you're correct. Maybe my mind is messing up. We didn't get a step last year. You know, and don't take me wrong, I think that hourly employees deserve this, and I'm glad that you approved it, because to take a cut in pay and then be the ones that are working out there to push our TRE and our bond and all that, I mean, they deserve this. But I don't recall that we got a step last year. We got, I believe it was an $800 salary increase that the state recommended, and the district abided by it. So it was something from the state type thing. Now, I don't recall it being an actual step increase. It was just an additional pay that the state had recommended. But I do hope that next year that you really do look across the board, because it is pretty sad to find out that somebody at central office who, and I'm not saying that central office's jobs are not well worth it, but it is amazing to me to see that somebody who has maybe one job earns more than a teacher. You know, 60,000, somebody mentioned earlier 60,000 a teacher. I'm like, what teacher here in this district makes 60,000? Not happening. It is sad to see that Federal Bureau secretaries, I have a niece who's a secretary for a warden at the Federal Bureau in Houston, makes more than a teacher. And she says, and here I'm taking care of inmates and you're educating kids. Now, this is a state problem, obviously. You know it is. But I do hope that this district will somehow do something to really look at it, like Monica said, not just the TASB, but everywhere around, because you're gonna find out that there's a huge difference. And you know, like Mr. Fintel said, you have your dedicated people who will stay here, who will teach in a closet. Right, Mr. Earls? We'll teach in a closet, whatever we have to do, that's what we'll do. But yeah, you gotta take care of your people. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Mondano. All right, anybody else from the community that would like to speak?
Good evening, Isabella Escobar, for the record. I want to thank you all. As a paraprofessional, we had not gotten a raise since 2007. And then you took away our 6 days. So that was quite a big chunk for some of us. And there's some people that are single parents and they have to worry about making ends meet. So hopefully this increase will help us and the other people. And the teachers too. Thank you guys.
Thank you. Just
find
them out.
I know that last week at the meeting, some of you were hesitant because of community perception. And I don't think that any community member is gonna be disappointed. I really don't. Because we're entrusting you all
And we're wanting to take care of our people. You know, I said it before, this district is a it's a family, and we take care of each other. And if anybody has a problem, you could just send them my way. Thank you. Can we get that in writing?
Certainly, we'll take you up on that, Lily.
You're going to become our enforcer. School district enforcer.
You know, anybody else from the community that would like to speak on this agenda item? All right. Very well put. The only thing that I think this board is concerned about is what we, during the election, that we told the community that we want to make sure that we can stand behind that. And that's why we're being a little conservative and assertive with this. But I think we've pretty much done as much as we can to make sure that we compensate our staff, our employees, as much as we can this year. I think next year we'll have a great opportunity that we'll be able to do some more equitable adjustments in terms of not just the local market, but within our own district, that we can take a look at some things. This year, unfortunately, we just didn't have enough time to do that. And like Monica said, we don't want to just go out and do this piecemeal. We want to make sure we have a comprehensive attack to our inequities and our market issues within our county. And I think this board is pretty resolute that we want to make sure we're fair with everybody. And so, you know, I think we're in the right track. And I think the community has given us something to be on the right track. And so, you know, for that, we do thank the community that they have given us this opportunity. Many other districts are not talking about these things. They're talking about totally different things. They're talking about what are we going to do next year? Who are we going to cut next year? So it's a very, very refreshing thing to talk about, being able to do compensation for our employees. And we certainly appreciate their work. We certainly appreciate those people that we cut these 6 days from and stuck with us.
Absolutely.
We really appreciate your work and your dedication. And
so, Mr. Chair, I have
anybody
a question.
Lori.
Ms. Agitic, do our employees' benefits stay the same?
Yes.
And does that include their insurances covered? I'm so thankful. Good.
Do we see a rate increase next year?
Sure.
For this coming year, the payout will just stay the same.
No.
That was brought forth to the board, and
they will
still
be. Yes. I deeply hope, I know that our morale in our district has been abysmal, and I hope this can be the beginning of a new beginning here, that, you know, morale will come up as their pay raises come up, and that this will only be the beginning, that there's, you know, we've got to do more and better. And I think we're all very committed to do that. And I hope you let the community know.
Thank you, Chair. As Superintendent, I just want to thank the board for all the work that you've done over the last three meetings and all the conversations in between and hanging with us. This has been a bronco that we've had to ride that's been a little different than other years due to the legislature. And I want to thank Business Services, HR, everyone that worked on this. And I, too, hope that the employees see this as us trying to do the best we can. I think it's important to point out to everyone, and please spread this. The legislature passed a law this year that does not require the school board to give even the step. In the past, the step or something has been required, and now that's gone. But our board is saying, no, we will keep that step in place. And appreciate that, appreciate the work, and we look forward to the Monica plan next year.
Thank you, Doc. Anybody else? Well, not just that they didn't allow the step, they passed a law actually allowing us to cut teachers' pay. Get a load of that.
And districts are doing that.
And some districts are doing it. But not us.
No.
Letty.
I know that our district is paying very, very minimal for Purdue compared to the surrounding districts. For next year's budget, we can consider looking at.
The travel per diem?
Yes, very minimal. We can look into it for next week so we can start preparing ahead of time.
Good point, Leti. That is something we also need to try and take a look and set. We're commensurate with the other districts.
Because that's going to increase our budget,
Well, what would happen is because every campus and department budgets their travel funds, it would just mean that they would expend more of them if at the point that we decided to increase that per diem.
Right.
Not necessarily a full budget, but they'd have to consider that.
All right. Anybody else? Okay. I want to thank staff, administration for all your hard work. I know the last several weeks you guys have been pulling your hair out. Did a lot of work on this, and thank you for your dedication again. All right. We have a motion before the board on agenda item 3A. Any further discussion on this item?
And this will require the 4 days to be mandatory, of course, under normal work rules, and it will be comprehensive across all non-Chapter 25 employees.
Yeah. Right. There are, the one thing we didn't consider on that, there may be some people in a small fraction probably that are going to say, well, I don't want to take those. We need to...
They can use their leave
as normal. We need to think about that, okay, before we vote, if you all don't want to... We need to be resolute on this because there are going to be, not the majority, I think, but I think some will, there'll be issues. Don't give them any idea. Okay. Everybody, but you know what? Might as well start getting used to it because next year is going to be those days. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else? Tony.
Mrs. Cáceres?
Yes.
Mr. Fernando?
Yes.
Mrs. González?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Happy days are here again, yes.
Thank you, board.
All right, next agenda item.
Item B, consider approval of contract with INS for IT data center build and CPS consultant contract. Number
R4825,
Mr. Gatlin.
Mr. Gatlin.
Good evening, Board President Bonato, board members, and Dr. Murphy. Tonight, we come before you tonight to ask for your approval for a contract with the INX Corporation to help build our data center, to increase the size of our data center, in the amount of $243,696.82. We would like to use the Texas B Cooperative Purchasing Network contract number R4825. I would like to entertain any questions you have on this.
All right. Board, any questions for Mr. Gatlin on agenda item 3B?
I so move.
I'll second that.
All right. We have a motion and a second on agenda item 3B to approve the contract with INX for the IT data center build. Using the purchasing cooperative contract number R4825. It's in the amount of $243,696.82, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Any discussion from the board? Comments? Mr. Rodriguez?
I do. I want to bring it up for discussion. I wanted to bring this up faster, but I want to look at the possibility. Central office is not going to be able to have room to grow. And I want to look at the possibility of us and having an agenda item to discuss this to see if we want to look at moving. And then, so I'll approve it, but I'm going to put it up on the next item so we could see what type of direction, because we're landlocked in this area. And if we put it out, I'll just put that item on so we can discuss it.
And I think that is something that this board really seriously needs to discuss. We have a parking issue. We don't have any more space. Clearly, we can't build any. We can't. Excuse me?
IT could take over the whole building.
Well, you could. Easily.
But we need some alternatives, and I think we need to seriously start discussing that. So, let's put that on in a.
About on his facilities
very near
committee.
Put it on the facilities.
What's the timeline on the work
Oh, a matter of fact, we're, it's static. We did the RFP. No, we already did the RFPs. We're doing it mainly with the IRA funding, which is going to be used. What we're looking at is the exact same thing you're thinking of, only we've outgrown the space we're in right now.
Right.
And we're looking at, if we add more personnel, even going into like the warehouse, I'm thinking down the line, extension, just with what we bought in the past year, we have to have some stuff downstairs and some stuff upstairs. And we have had this stuff going out. Ask anybody, they'll tell you we've been having outages. So this is probably overdue by about 2 years.
I know, and we actually the board started discussing this about 2-3 years ago, in terms of expanding next door.
We never
got around
and
to
doing
that,
and
we really need to seriously consider moving out of here to expand for our administration and parking. Really, the parking issue and space for IT and other of our departments that are running out. Mm-hmm. And maybe in that Levain, transfer the warehouse over to support services.
In case you misunderstood what you stated, the annex is not started on this yet because we haven't approved it yet. But we did go out for bid in December of 2009
for some of the
preliminary stuff. That's what they're working on now.
And the planning, planning as far as making sure
security.
We have a plan.
Right. Okay. Anybody else?
Mr. Chair. I just want to look. I know that there's about, the servers are about 200,000 where we can move, but I want to look at maybe if we could just wait to see what type of direction the board wants to give.
We can't wait.
On the servers?
We can't wait moving this. If what's today's date? 6/28. I cannot guarantee that our systems are going to be 100% at 98%. We need to have a 98%. On rate, I cannot guarantee this does not happen. We're already, you can talk to some of the campuses, we've had a system breakdown.
It's something we have to do until, because even if we were moving tomorrow, we still need this spent.
And our move is going to take a couple years.
Yeah.
We can't keep this up.
But we still need to have that discussion soon, though.
Yeah. Oh, I agree.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody else? All right. Tony.
Mrs. Cousins?
Yes.
Mr. Carnaval?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Wilson?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs.
Rose?
Oh, yes.
Thank you. All right. And we are adjourned by unanimous consent of the board. Thank you, board. Good meeting.
Hello.